This guy kind of gives me the creeps.
That's Wario, Snake. Wario first appeared as Mario's rival, but he really made his name in the WarioWare games. Watch out for Wario's bite. It's not just damage you take from it.
What do you mean, Colonel?
Wario loves garlic. He eats whole cloves of it day and night. So try not to get caught in his mouth. Once that smell gets on you, it'll stick to you for quite a while.
Ooh, that's a scary thought.
He also attacks by farting. He can fart to fly around, too.
By farting? Are you kidding me?
Sadly, no. I am not kidding. If his belly starts to bulge, watch out.
Snake, what is it?
Something about that hedgehog rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, you mean Sonic the Hedgehog? But everyone loves Sonic. He's a big star. Do you have any idea how excited people are that he's here in Brawl?
Yeah, I know. But there's something about him I just don't like.
But why? You must have some kind of reason.
Nope. Just don't like him. That guy with the mustache.
Ah, you mean the king of second bananas?
Hey, that's Luigi. Show him a little respect.
Look at that pale skin. He's been living in his brother's shadow for too long.
That's a low blow, Colonel.
Ah, face it, Snake. Once a kid brother, always a kid brother.
Colonel, what's gotten into you?
Lolly lule lo, lolly lule lo, lolly lule lo.
Colonel, snap out of it. Colonel! Colonel!
And welcome to Evil Avatar Radio. I wasn't sure when that was going to end. But yeah, welcome to Evil Avatar Radio, episode number 98. We are two away from the big 100. Coming up in just 2 weeks here. It's getting closer and closer. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show. That was Jeremy cooked that up for us. What was that, Jeremy? Explain it to us.
Man, in Super Smash Brothers, there's this great little bit where you, if you play as Snake on the Shadow Moses Island level, and you press down really, really quick, then he calls one of his cohorts to get info on whoever it is he's fighting. And almost all of them are absolutely hysterical.
So there's a bunch of them then,
there's
huh?
one for every character.
Wow.
one of my favorites that I couldn't include on there for time was when you call when you're fighting Snake. Snake versus Snake.
Oh, really?
That's pretty good, too.
so have you been joining? Have you enjoyed Brawl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? Yeah.
Can't play online, though, from what I understand.
No. Not only are friend codes stupid, but the online service appears to be entirely broken for me. I can't. I know other people have added the friend codes, and it's not showing up as having registered, and I haven't been able to join a single match. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, and this is on the Nintendo system, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what a surprise.
Not only is it, you know, a terribly conceived matchmaking system, but it's also terribly broken, apparently.
Oh, wow. Kind of like what seems to be happening in the chat room right now.
Again? Seriously?
There seems to be a 10-second delay between when I type and when it actually appears in the chat, so I'm not sure. A moment ago, everybody in the chat room just up and vanished. And then everybody came back, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, but our stream's not broken this
our
time.
Our stream is not broken this time, as far as I know.
In spite of what Mike O'Hara just said.
Yeah, I don't know. As far as I know, the stream's still working. Hopefully somebody can, you know, let us know and make sure. Let's see, what else? Did you play anything else other than Brawl?
No, that's pretty much all I played this weekend.
Single player doing it for you, or what?
Yeah. I had an absolute blast with it. And I also... I've been playing a lot with the level editor. I've been making Sonic Spinball levels.
That's right. You can do level stuff in that thing.
Yeah, and there wasn't a spinball level.
Does it work okay?
So
how does
it
the level...
It needed one. It needed about 10, actually. So
how does the creator work? Does it, you know...
It's very, very basic. You just drag little things over to the map and drop them in there. And there's not a whole lot of stuff to choose from, and you can unlock a few extra things by, you know, unlocking stuff, but... it's pretty basic, but there's enough to make really fun levels.
Oh, cool. All right, Dennis, over to you, buddy. What's been going on with you?
mostly been playing Brawl. I got some Blue Dragon in as well. Actually, I also went through Portal again.
Yeah.
That was a good choice.
Good job. Good job. Yeah, there is a thing going on with the chat room because there's like, I don't know, 7 posts that just popped up at once. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with that. Let's see. And so yeah, that's pretty much all you did this weekend?
Pretty much.
All right, cool. Well, then, did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to pick up Rainbow Six Vegas 2?
Not right away.
You didn't play the first one.
No, I haven't played the first
yeah.
one. I've got his copy, but...
I highly recommend playing through. I don't know what the second one has to show you, but I know how the first one ended. So, regardless of how good the co-op really should be in this one, you really ought to play through the first one. I mean, on its own merits, but definitely before you play the second one.
Okay.
Cool. And over to James now. What'd you get through with this weekend?
Well... I'm not quite done with Mass Effect. Dana's out of town.
That's right. Zilla Dana's not in the studio with us today.
She wanted to be there when I finished it.
Yeah.
So I've got I have completed absolutely everything that's off mission. I've all of my assignments as opposed to my missions.
Right.
Done every single thing I possibly can. I have no option in the game but to go to Veermeyer.
Hmm.
And you know, she wants to be there for that, so I had to put that on the shelf. Restarted, well, not restarted, but I picked up, started playing through Oblivion again because I never beat that. You were sick. We were supposed to finish up.
In case you can't tell by the sound of my voice.
We were supposed to finish up Condemned and maybe get in a little bit of time with Army 2.
Army 2, yeah.
But both of those things got shelved.
It was nasty.
That you were feverish and disgusting.
Started a little bit on Wednesday, and then Thursday really kicked in, and then Friday is when I hit the fever. And then, man, I slept. Saturday, I didn't get up. I didn't get out of the bed Saturday until 4 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I slept a ton over the weekend, so got my rest in. And that's why I sound the way. Apologize for the way I sound. The number, somebody asked in the chat room, if you want to call us, you're more than welcome to. 334-272-9228 is the phone number. 334-272-9228. We got a lot going on with the show. I know Nick is going to be calling us in here pretty soon to tell us about his visit to Rockstar North, I believe it is, over in New York. He got a look at GTA, and we're going to talk about that, because that's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing we're not going to spend an enormous amount of the show talking about that.
And then coming up later on in the show, we're going to talk about Condemned and Condemned 2 with Sega of America calling in to talk to us about that. And, you know, if you got your questions, you can call in with those questions if you want. Again, 334-272-9228, or you can send us an email with your questions, everyone@evilavatarradio.com, if you'd like to do it that way. I didn't really get to play a whole lot. I did put in Devil May Cry 4 a little bit on Sunday and played a little bit of that, enjoyed what I did. I'm thinking about spending the $40 that Gamefly is offering me to keep that.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, for the 360, is that what you got it
on? For the 360, yeah. Yeah. Well, why?
Seems like the perfect thing to have picked up for the PS3.
Yeah, maybe.
I know that the install is something to consider.
But it's a one-time install.
It apparently, not to sidestep things, but we don't normally spend a lot of time talking about the NPD numbers, but the ones that came out this week were very interesting, the February NPD numbers.
Yeah.
That
so I can go to those real quick.
Devil May Cry 4 showed up on that list twice. I believe it was the number 3 slot for the 360 and the number 5 for the PS3, something like that. There was a little bit of a variance, but
number 2 for the 360.
2 for the 360 and what?
And
four
number 4,
or five.
Four for the PS3.
Interesting, though, when you consider the comparative install base, that there's essentially not much difference between how many were sold for the 360 and how many were sold for the PS3, but, you know, per installed system, a much, much higher percentage of the people bought it for the PS3 than bought it for the 360. I mean, there's obviously a lot of mitigating factors, a lot of things that could have played into that, but it was kind of interesting when compared to the information that the PS3 actually outsold the 360 for January and February, wasn't it?
Both
months, first 2 months out of this year.
Yeah.
So just if you're looking for it, like I know some of us are, news to point to, you know, when thinking that the PS3 is actually beginning to close the gap a little bit, or at least make up some of the losses it suffered in its first year. Kind of an interesting thing, particularly when people point to the fact that the PS3 isn't really viewed as quite as hardcore a system as some people have claimed because it's a Blu-ray player or whatever.
I was about to say.
It's like a relatively high percentage of the people who own it obviously bought DMC4 and really didn't care too much about the install. Evidently, it wasn't enough to dissuade people.
But looking at those NPD numbers for February, now that it seems, and I'm pretty sure February was the month for it, that HD DVD died.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that was another factor in people picking up, because it is the cheapest Blu-ray on the market.
If you were someone who was considering buying a PS3 anyway, and someone who had not already committed
mm-hmm.
to having a player, if both of those things were, you know, kind of extant in your forward-looking philosophy about what I need to buy a PS3, yeah, I think it actually could have been an event trigger that pushed people towards actually getting it. Whether it was directly a great reason to do it or not, it's just like, well, the feeling that I'm going to throw my weight behind a format in some way that isn't going to survive is kind of non-existent now.
Yeah,
you know that format's the winner. So I don't know, maybe it has a lot to do with consumer confidence. I don't know, but it's good. I got no problems. I'm happy to see the PS3 moving right along.
Yeah, me too. I am as well. We got a phone call here. I don't have Zilla Dana's not here, so I don't actually know who's on the phone. So they're gonna have to tell us. Who's this?
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, Nick. What'd you play this? What'd you play this weekend?
This weekend, I played a lot of Armia 2.
That's not what I was hinting at. You told me you played you told me you played Hot Shots Golf.
No, I did play a lot of Hot Shots Golf.
There you go. That's what I was trying to seg into, man.
Hey, that's on the PS3.
That is on the PS3. There's a load time for that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, it was about a 12, 13-minute install for that guy as well. It's about 4 gig. So, yeah, not a good trend I'm seeing there with the PS3 and installs.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't had to deal with it just yet.
You know what's especially annoying, and I actually had to do it this weekend, was trying to manage where the PS3 actually puts that. It doesn't keep it all together. You have to kind of drill down to a separate section in the games menu to find the install files and the patches and stuff.
You have to do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't, to remove old ones, right? It's not listed with, like, the save games and all the other stuff. You have to go to a separate area in the systems tab there to remove it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
That does sound like it's very annoying. Hey, let me tell you what else is annoying. Your chat room right now. you have any idea what you can tell people listening that may be in the chat room wondering what's going on? What's actually going on?
No, I don't. I just got home not too long ago, and it was doing the same thing for me, so.
Can you make something up?
Sure.
That would make us feel better?
Yeah, some guys decided to cross the streams, and, well, exactly. You know what happened.
Total protonic reversal.
Exactly.
Of a chat room.
Hot Shots Golf, if you played any of the previous ones, it's, you know, pretty similar. And I'm enjoying it so far. I was addicted to the PSP version when that came out, and I played, you know, a ton of that, and I think I unlocked almost everything in that. And I can see myself trying to do that in the PS3 version. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that you got to play kind of, not really this weekend, but on Friday. And really, the only reason, you know, I really wanted to talk to you tonight.
Oh, I see how it is.
You should. Come on, man. You played GTA 4.
I know, I did.
You actually got hands-on time. You actually got to play.
Yeah, I got to play for about 2 hours and just kind of do whatever. You know, the guy, he showed me some missions and stuff, but he let me do basically whatever I wanted to do. So.
And how was whatever you wanted to do?
It was good. You know, I'll admit that after Grand Theft Auto 3, I was not a fan of any of the games afterwards. I just could never get into them. You know, I'd play a few hours here or there, but I never, like, sat down and tried to play through, you know, San Andreas or Vice City.
Can you actually... why? I mean, why is that exactly? I couldn't play San Andreas. I did like Vice City, but with the exception of some of the additional things you could do, jumping out of a moving car, you know,
yeah,
like stuff like that, I didn't like the game as much.
San Andreas, I don't know. At that point, I was just really burnt out on the whole GTA style gameplay. I didn't think it would, you know, it had a few things that were different with the more open world and the create a character kind of thing. How you can customize your guy and all that stuff. But I don't know. It was just the whole GTA style thing I had been burnt out on. Vice City, I got into the PSP version of that more than the PS2 version.
Okay.
And I played through a bit of that, but again, it was just kind of like, I didn't feel any need to have to play through the story or, you know, it's just, I don't know, I can't pinpoint any one thing with those games as to, maybe it was just, they weren't that different, which is, you know, why Rockstar didn't name either of them number four.
Right.
You know, they weren't they weren't that different than the previous games.
And what you saw, how, like I like when I first there are certain games that when I first see them for the very first time, when I first saw the like Cameo on my HD set at home, uh-huh. When I first saw an HD game, I was really just taken back by what I was seeing. Did you get some kind of shock to the system in what you were seeing, maybe what you were playing, or I mean,
it wasn't a shock. What really impressed me with Grand Theft Auto 4 was all the little attention to details. There is just a lot of little things the game does that when you combine them all together, it just makes for a really cool experience. Like, one of the things that really impressed me off the bat was if you fail a mission, you know, and you restart the mission, you know, there's actually a mission restart option. That's a dig at Paradise City.
I was about to say, you trying to rub something in there?
No, but if you restart a mission, the dialogue is actually slightly different. They recorded like 4 or 5 variations of the mission dialogue for every mission in the game, so that when you fail it, you don't hear the same thing twice.
That's kind of cool.
Like, little things like that. And they said that actually, like, some of the missions, they actually recorded like a final one. It basically said the guy will just be like, I'm sick of telling you about this. And that's it.
That's awesome.
You know, so it's like, you know, they don't even take themselves seriously in a sense, but, you know, they really mix it up. So it's just little attention to detail like that. It uses Natural Motion's Euphoria animation engine, which is going to be in, like, the Force Unleashed. That's one of the engines they use in there for the skeletal animation.
That's what I heard.
The Indiana Jones game that's coming out is using that. I can't remember offhand some other ones, but I just remember seeing the videos for that probably like a year or so ago, and they had showed like it was like football animations, and they were showing the different tackles that would happen and how realistically the body would react.
Right.
And I think it lives up to the hype. The stuff that it does, just little things like if your character's legs are on two different level of surfaces, you know, it knows to lift up the one leg that's on the higher surface and kind of, you know, bend the knee a little bit and put the foot flat on the ground and stuff. And
it seemed to
kind of adjust the body weight.
Yeah.
It's so subtle, but it really works. You know, it's just a little bit of what it needs to do to make it work. Like running up and down steps, it really looks like the character is, you know, on the steps, not just like an animation that's sliding, you know, that kind of like sliding down feel that most of the games have.
Right. There was a write-up about that in the sense that somebody who was playing it really felt like there was weight to the character. When you would be at a full sprint and you would try and turn, mm-hmm. there'd be some weight, some movement, and so, you know.
Oh yeah, your body definitely has mass in it. Even like when you're driving in a car, and you have like a passenger in it, and you take a hard turn, you'll see them shift in the car. You know, you take a really hard turn, they're gonna kick over against the wall of the car all the way and stuff like that and shift around in it. And the characters will yell at you, too, if you're driving too hard. They'll be like, yo, take it easy, and stuff like that. So.
I'm sure stuff we can't repeat on the air.
Yeah.
Now, did you get to play any... You didn't get to play any of the multiplayer, did you?
No, I didn't. They were testing it while I was there, and there was no... Like, there were actually people being paid to play it, basically. And so I couldn't really get in on that. They didn't have any extra... units to get me in on to play it.
Were you able to ask any questions about it? Or get any answers about it?
When we talked about it, at that time it was unconfirmed stuff, so it was things like, if this game did have Team Deathmatch, I think it'd be pretty cool if it did this. That was how he would put it to me.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. What else? What else did you see? I asked you if you got any swag. You said no. which sounds really odd. I hope you're holding back, but okay.
That doesn't bother me. I went there to play the game, which was, good enough.
Good enough, exactly. I would guess so. Go ahead.
I'm almost unquantifiably excited about this game now, that particularly that the multiplayer has been announced. Generally, is it deserving of the amount of excitement that a lot of us are heaping onto it? I mean, I know it's GTA. I'm sure that we're going to be able to see its pedigree all over the place and know that it's GTA. But, I mean, are we getting a worthy sequel? Is it worthy of the four?
I think so. I definitely think so. The missions seem a lot more in depth. There's a lot more narrative around them.
Yeah.
I really like the main character. The main character is really cool.
I was just going to bring that up. Like, one of my issues going from GTA 3 to GTA 4 was I loved the fact that the guy in GTA 3, he didn't have a name. He was just like the guy. He didn't have a name. He didn't have a voice. They did not see fit to infuse him with any kind of character. They sort of left that up to the player. And I just didn't like Tommy Vercetti that much. He wasn't a horrible character. I didn't like him. But everything I've seen, I kind of like Nico.
Yeah, no, Nico's a good character, and even the supporting characters around him are pretty good. Like the one guy I met up with, he was this Jamaican stoner guy, and it was funny. The Rockstar guy said, "You're not going to understand a word he says. You're going to love this guy." And you can't. Like, it's such a thick Jamaican accent that you really can't understand what he says. But he smokes the entire time. You know, the missions he has you do and stuff, it's hilarious. And, like, it's great because in the cars now, you can actually punch out the window and shoot out of it or throw, like, Molotov cocktails out of it and stuff like that. Well, when the Jamaican guy's in your car, the car's all filled up with smoke. And if you punch out the window, the smoke starts billowing out the window and stuff. So you're driving down the road, the Jamaican music's playing on the radio, and the smoke's billowing out, and it's just, it's one of those neat moments. You're like, okay, that's cool. It's a nice touch.
Your chat room's totally dead, dude. I just refreshed and nothing, so I don't know. Look into that, I guess, when we get off the phone with you. But let me ask you this: this is something me and James were talking about. You know, what is it? It's 6 weeks before release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're sitting about 6 weeks out right now, and that's when they give us the that's when they drop the information about the multiplayer. And
however,
looking back to the first time they pushed this back, it's been a while, and I can't count back accurately, but we were about this far out when they pushed it back from November. Is there any indication
that... But they never said anything about multiplayer.
But they never brought it up. And we were wondering, were they right at the cusp of where they could announce what they're announcing now and then held on to it because they were pushing the game back for other reasons? Or is there something in this multi, aside from all of the sort of well understood but possibly apocryphal fact that the PS3 is completely to blame for the pushback, is there anything in this multiplayer that was the multiplayer expanded during this pushback, or
I really wouldn't know.
What do you think, though? What do you think? Because a lot of the after it was announced that it was delayed, there was months and months of time that would go by, and a lot of people were saying, well, it's the PS3's fault.
Yeah,
that's why they weren't ready to release on the PS3. But we didn't hear anything about multiplayer in September or back before.
That's how Rockstar is a master at releasing information and generating hype for their product. And they pride themselves at what they release to the public is finely polished, whether it's information or video or screenshots, or they let you see exactly what they want you to see. And that's, that's how they want you to build the hype for their product. That's how they've always done it. Even, thinking back to before the first delay, it was 90 days or a little bit more until we even got the first, video.
Yeah, I was just thinking
about
that.
The first, real trailer. And, other games, it's 6 months, year out. And they know what they're doing, and they do it on purpose. I think they don't want to let people down with what they have. So they make sure that when they have something good and polished, that's when they'll show it off.
I was just, because that was the thing. I was like, you know, that if obviously 6 weeks out is basically what they're looking at as their hype window for the announcement of the multiplayer. And I just wonder if, you know, 6 months ago, they were sitting right at that point, ready to announce the next thing when they instead announced the pushback. You know, how much of this were they already sitting on and they didn't want to cross that threshold and then push it back or whatever. In any case, I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter, and hopefully we'll find out sometime after the release. Maybe we can talk to some of them and get them to spill the beans. I don't know. Either way.
Yeah, love to.
It's obviously working because I'm wound up like a top. And I'm very, very excited for
the
game.
Because what this harkens back to, we were talking about this. You said the multiplayer reminded you a lot of Burnout Paradise, in a sense.
Well,
that it's
like
when you're talking about
the jump in, jump out, and everybody, like, you're just kind of wand, like the in-game jump in, jump out. I mean, the simple fact of, I mean, there's 15 modes, but the running around like a maniac, free roaming, apparently objective or not objective centric thing, is actually an astonishingly fun way to play. We used to play Midtown Madness that way. As obscure as it was, we would play Freelancer that way. Freelancer actually had a multiplayer component. What, like 32 players or something, wasn't it?
32 or 64. Was
something like that, which was a bit too small for what it was. But essentially, you could just, you know, fool around in a wide open world. It was just too big to actually close the distance to any of the other players. I mean, you know, add 14 more players, and that's essentially what we were doing in the Crackdown co-op. Which is brilliant.
I can't really confirm how it's going to work, but I do know that like the cell phone in the game is kind of like your central hub for everything. You'll see missions on it. You'll see appointments. You'll get messages. You can make calls and stuff like that. The multiplayer menu is right in the cell phone.
Right, yeah,
so
that's what I thought.
I would guess to say that it's going to be kind of like a seamless thing, almost like Burnout Paradise, where you just bring up your cell phone, bring up the multiplayer menu, invite your friends in, and you're good to go, which would be great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see your chat room now, but some people asked, did they remove the need to eat in GTA 4?
Yeah, there's no need. The only thing eating does is it gives you health.
Okay. Yeah, so there's no working out and, you know, that sort of thing that you have
right,
to do.
Right, yeah, there's no training in it. I did ask that question.
Did you play the go ahead.
No, I didn't play the PS3 version. They only had the 360 version.
That's what I was curious about, too, is what you got around to getting to play there. So, oh, goodness. Whoa, I double posted. Anyway, what else did you, anything else you saw? Anything else you want to talk about that you got to see out there?
Other cool things from it that the internet in the game seems like it's gonna be pretty neat. There's a whole
that's right. You can go into internet cafes and surf the web.
Yeah, I think he said there's something they made like 800 web pages for this thing.
Ah, I see.
And it does really cool things like the one mission I had. I took out this construction site basically. There was all these corrupt construction workers or something. I don't know. I just killed them, but. After it was over, we went to the internet cafe, and on the newspaper's webpage, it had a story about the construction massacre or something like that. So
that's great.
It'll update the in-game internet.
Oh, that's great!
Kind of
like
what you've been doing,
like the news radio feeds in Mass Effect.
Yeah, similar to that. So, and then and the one really cool thing with like the missions is. They're kind of almost like multi-part. They'll make you think. And the one mission had you had to take out like this corporate CEO, but you couldn't just like basically waltz into the building and you know get right up to him
obviously
really easily. You know, I mean, you could, but it'd be difficult. So what he said you could do is you go on the internet and you hit up their website, and they just happen to have a job posting for. Whatever. Well, you send your resume over, they'll give you a call, and you get an interview, and then you can go to the interview and, you know, take them out or whatever.
It's like a more modern Assassin's Creed Scholar Walk type thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just kind of blend in and then go and do your thing.
That's
cool.
Yeah, that's clever. Did you get any sense from the time you were playing about, I mean, we know that the city is scaled down significantly from the size of San Andreas. Is it, you know, is the area a little something closer to like three Or Vice City?
It's a lot bigger. They said that it's not as big as San Andreas, but it's a lot more densely packed. And right. it's actually basically like Lower Manhattan and New Jersey. So it's across the actual the bay there. And it took me a while. I got to get in a helicopter and just kind of fly around and see things. And it took quite a while to see everything that I could see.
No, that's good. I mean, I've got no problem with them scaling it back from where San Andreas was. San Andreas was, for me personally, it was too big. I would just get lost, and I would just sort of flounder around and then just not even move forward in the game. I had a hard time getting anywhere with it.
The one thing I liked is they definitely added the ability to get around on buildings more. You can get up on buildings. Even some missions actually had you go up a building to, you know, scope out areas and stuff like that. And any of the buildings you can get on top of.
Was there ever a time when you were playing that you really wanted to jump really high?
Yeah. when I was up on the building there.
Were you looking for the green orbs? Were you looking for those?
Well, you know, they actually... I can't really say what, but there is going to be some similar things to Crackdown's orbs.
Hopefully we can hear them. You know, we can... I like the audio clue.
But there will be something that fits in that universe that's kind of like the orbs.
All right.
So I found it, and I wasn't supposed to, I think. I was like, what was that? He goes, oh, that's just, you know, one of our hidden things. So, yeah.
That's cool. Awesome.
All right, man. Well, that's great. Anything else?
Oh, we got some other things to talk about. Yeah, we got our contest that we posted today.
Yeah, that's I am not creative for anything, but I wish I was for this contest. Go ahead and tell us about it.
So we teamed up with Disruptive Publishers, who some people might have seen on Xbox Live before. They do have a few themes out there, but basically the idea is to have a contest between communities to create themes for Xbox Live. And the way it works is you sign up for the site and you affiliate yourself with one of eight communities, and then you upload a theme and people can vote on it. And the theme with the most votes will get a publishing contract with Disruptive Publishers to create content for Xbox Live, as well as a pretty killer prize package of, 42-inch LCD TV, Blu-ray player, 5.1 surround sound system.
Yeah.
But the great thing is, the whole thing is very community-oriented, so just for being a part of it, we have, 2,400 MS Point cards to give away, which we're going to give away to the top 20 themes just from our community. But if, as a community, our themes get the most votes overall versus the other communities, we're going to have 800 MS Point cards to give away, $250 in Best Buy gift cards, some Nokia phones, and a bunch of Xbox 360 games. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think we got a pretty good shot here we got a lot of talent in our community.
Well, you know, we got the guy that created our logo, and I believe the guy that created Co-Optimus logo.
Yeah, he did all the artwork for Co-Optimus. I've seen quite a few impressive things from our members. And even I know Expugnare uploaded something today, and it's this Xbox 360 Fractals theme to it. And it's pretty slick looking for our first one up there. So.
Yeah, if you go check it out.
Yeah.
And
so
vote.
We got that going on.
Yeah.
That's going on, I think, till April 15th, maybe. I think it's about a month that runs, and then the voting closes, and then I think the winners are announced at the end of April.
Cool.
So we got that going on. And there was something else I wanted to talk to you about.
I think you wanted to talk about the Co-op Bill of Rights.
Oh, yeah. And actually, something big is happening with that. Probably in the next couple hours here.
Really? What?
Ozymandias, which he kind of followed up with that and ran with a post, is actually going to be posting what myself and Tycho from Penny Arcade and him have put together from community feedback as the actual Co-op Gamers Bill of Rights. He's also going to be posting actual Xbox Live data on co-op and how it's being played and stuff like that along with it. So it should be pretty interesting to see what comes from that.
very cool. Yeah, co-op's a big thing.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I think I started Co-Optimus just at the right time.
I think you did, too.
I got that in right in time.
I think you did a great job. And Co-Optimus, check it out, co-optimus.com. It's where you can go if you're curious if a game has co-op. You just go right to that site and find out. And the different
and find
types.
Out what kind of co-op?
Yeah, the different types of co-op that it has. You know, Army of Two doesn't have all region co-op, but it does have co-op. So yeah, there's little details that are in that you can find out through co-optimus.com. Hey, thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, not a problem.
What are you going to be playing this weekend? Any R6 Vegas?
I think so. I put my Amazon order in today, so.
Good job.
I hope to have that by Wednesday or Thursday this week.
Cool, because we got a month to burn that up before GTA, and then, that's what a lot of us will be doing.
Yeah. So, and also, one last plug for me. I'm going to be posting the full GTA 4 preview.
Yes.
Right after we got off the phone here, so.
You gave us
there'll be a few things in there that I didn't talk about.
Hey, fix your chat room first, if you could.
I can try. I don't know what I can do.
That'd be great. Anyway, thanks again, man.
All right, have a good one.
Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, well, let's take a quick commercial break here, and then when we come back, we'll do the weekly release and talk about any other news that we got time to talk about. Hopefully the chat room will be fixed. But we got a lot more coming up next on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here at 1170 WACV. Take a look at the weekly release. Basically, we already covered what's coming out this week. Hotshots Golf on the PS3, if you want to pick that up. We've also got Metal Gear Solid, the Essential Collection for the PS2, and as well as Rainbow Six Vegas 2 for the 360 and the PS3 coming out this week. On the virtual console this week, we got Spelunker and Super R-Type. And then on the arcade, nothing really announced today, but there was the announcement of the two games going into the Xbox Live Arcade Hits, where they go down to 400 points. That is Doom and, what was the other one, Assault Heroes, going down to 400 points from the 800 that they originally went as. So you can pick those up if you want to. And an announcement of some others, other games coming out, the most notable of which was Commando 3, was the only one that I really paid any attention to. So, and who knows when that'll be. So there you go. That's what we've got coming out this week. And let's see. Yeah, chat room's still down. Goodness. So we were talking during the break about the about GTA 4 and the multiplayer and stuff like that. We kind of want to wait and get some more information before we make our decision on what system we're going to be picking it up on. There's a very likely possibility of getting both.
Yeah, as retarded as that sounds, and I know we've said it before, simply for purposes of comparison, but we've always run down, sort of run out the clock still not having made a decision. And ultimately, we buy something for the 360, rent it for the PS3.
Right, correct.
If we decide to make the comparison. And in a lot of cases, like I was, giving you crap earlier for not, DMC4, that's exactly something that I would get on the PS3 if I was going to go one way or the other. Installation notwithstanding. Maybe it's a better experience on that controller. I don't know. Whenever I pick up Burnout, which isn't something that I plan on doing anytime soon, but because I'm not that interested in the multiplayer, my friends list doesn't have as strong a bearing on how I feel about the game, I'll get it for the PS3. I don't know, though.
When you're interested in something, particularly for multiplayer, and you want to play with your friends, though.
When it's such a huge part of my anticipation, it's really, really hard to think about, that close to full friends list.
Have you played any multi on your PS3 yet?
Uh-uh. I haven't done anything multi.
Because I was also going to ask you how your chatting ability was going with that.
Like voice chat?
For the most part, there's not a lot of people voice chatting on the PS3.
No, and there are reasons for that. But
yeah. Yeah.
No, I hadn't done any of that, but I would be really, really, really interested. Just based on some very sort of tenuous and gossamer rumors that the PS3 version of GTA 4 is actually possibly coming together better than the 360 version, at least in terms of the single player experience. I know there are some of the people on my PS3 friends list will be picking it up for PS3. I'd like to try it both ways to have a really clear picture of it. It's either going to be both or just the 360. There's no way I'm not getting it on the 360.
Right.
Well, there's too many people there. A lot of people, a lot of friends of ours, a couple of which I've spoken to very recently, people who don't even maintain a gold account all the time, I will be picking it up and reactivating their gold account just to be able to play.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Like, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. So,
those MPD numbers will be interesting to see.
Yeah, they will. I'm beginning to think there was the... I don't even remember who did it. An executive at the Relevant Studio was saying something about blaming GTA 4 for the...
Decrease in Iron Man ticket sales?
Yeah. Which hasn't even happened yet, but whatever. And now I'm starting to think, no, you're right.
You're absolutely right.
I was totally going to make fun of you before, but no, you're right.
I was until
I
that multiplayer.
Do this.
Yeah, until they released all that,
Maybe if your movies could start being as interesting to me as the press release about a game's multiplayer details, then you wouldn't be in so much trouble at the box office. Your industry wouldn't be sinking like a stone. But whatever. I'm gonna forget entirely about that when I'm free roaming Liberty City with 50 other people.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So yeah, good stuff there. The chat room seems to be coming back a little bit there, so good to see that happening. Yeah, what else? I mean, I don't know. Your news is kind of overshadowed with the announcement of something like that. It's really the first legit time you've had multiplayer in GTA.
Yeah, the PC
gamers, been doing it for a while now.
Since 3, they've been hacking in some level of multiplayer, however unstable that might be.
Yeah.
So. And I imagine they've taken a real cue from what the mod communities have done in the past when developing, the multiplayer game types and everything. I don't know. 15 modes, that just kind of disturbs my mind a little bit. I can't quite think of 15 different things I'd want to do.
But you read off a few
cars,
that were great.
I want to drive around in cars and then shoot my friends.
you lift off a cops and robbers mode, basically. And,
yeah, which, actually, at this point, there's no way you could not do that.
Not in something like GTA, yeah, exactly.
Cops versus robbers. What else was there? There was a bit of a co-op crossover mission that was made. That was the Hangman.
Hangman's Noose, where you have to protect
a character.
Yeah, a team of four protect a character. Yeah,
right.
VIP, escort.
A VIP escort, but it was something. It's basically a co-op mission from the campaign, which that's a very interesting crossover to me.
Yeah.
All the other stuff, I don't know. I don't care. I'm sure it's going to be really cool. I'm not worried about it at all.
No.
I don't. Obviously, none of us knows the date of the spring update. The Xbox Live spring update.
If you remember last year's spring update.
I hope it doesn't blow a giant hole in the service.
Yeah, and then 1 month after the winter update,
right?
It blew another hole. So yeah, that's another one I forgot about, that spring update. Interesting.
That's around the right time.
Because a lot of people in the thread on this are like, can the 360 handle this big world with 16 people running around in it?
Yeah,
in all different places. Can it do that?
I don't really see why not. I think. I mean, it'll be a first. 16 players won't be a first.
No.
Multiplayer in the giant world won't be a first. I mean, you've got Call of Duty over here. You've got Crackdown over here.
Mm-hmm.
You basically take in the numbers from, the top end of what other multiplayer games can be on the user-hosted systems like the Xbox Live. And then you've got a world probably on par in terms of scale with Crackdown. I don't know.
Cool. Well, coming up,
they marry well.
Yeah, I do too.
And crossing my fingers.
Yeah, I know. The final trailer comes out, I believe, on the 27th of this month.
Yeah,
the final trailer for the game, which probably won't show us much of anything at all. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to be talking with Constantine from Sega of America to talk about Condemned and Condemned 2, a game that Dennis mentioned during the break that he actually beat over one of the weekends that he wasn't here on the show. So we'll ask him about that coming up. Here at about 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be talking to him. If you want to call in and ask your questions, you're more than welcome to. We got a thread that was an Evil Avatar that we're going to be pulling some questions from as well. But the number, 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. Or you can email us, everyone, at evilavatarradio.com, and we will pass along your questions as well. Not really talking about Monolith. We're going to be talking about Condemned and Condemned 2, but there were some Monolith questions posted in the thread. I will ask those. I can't guarantee you that he will be either able to answer or willing to answer those questions as well. Any other news, really quick hit news that was around that you guys wanted to hit on?
I'm really excited about the announcement that they're removing snaking from Mario Kart for the Wii.
I'm wondering how you felt about that.
Man, that is great. That is fantastic. Because whether it was an intended tactic or not, it absolutely broke the game for being playable with certain characters.
Yeah.
You had to play as a lightweight character able to snake down straightaways if you had any intention of being competitive online.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it, not only was it frustrating because of that, but it just looks stupid. It does. It looks
because
terrible.
You were just seeing
it's a straightaway, and they're just swerving all around down there to mm-hmm. get boost in speed. It's stupid. It was a stupid tactic, and I'm glad it's gone.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed. I'm looking forward to Mario Kart on the Wii. I really am looking forward. I love the fact of what we got with Double Dash. With all of us sitting in the room. We kind
of
had that when we were playing Smash Brothers. I could see us all sitting in there playing Mario Kart when it's out and having probably a lot more fun because we knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know what I was doing when we were playing Smash Brothers. So I really, really look forward to that. So
you got to try out my Sonic Spinball levels for Smash Brothers.
I'd love to. You need to bring it over because I'm not picking up that game.
No problem.
I already made the decision. I haven't opened up Army of Two. I went out and bought it a week ago.
Yeah, I rented it. You bought it. And this was thinking we'd get right into playing it.
And we never really
did.
But
the week got complicated, then you got sick over the weekend, so we didn't.
And now, the more I read about the game, the more I realized that is totally a rental for me. I don't need to be spending the money on that game.
There is a game you're going to be spending money on in 2 days.
Well, no, I'm just going to take Army 2 back and be like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Whether it's return,
Vegas.
Whether it's return money or whether it's out-of-the-wallet money, either way.
I've got to put my mug on my character again.
Come Thursday, it's Vegas.
Yeah, it is. It is. Vegas 2. You picking that up, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Okay, good job. Yeah. Dennis? Oh,
You need to play the first one. Yes. Get on the ball, play the first one. It's a great single-player game.
I loaned him the first one a long time ago. So.
I'm just busy with so much of it.
Well, you need to find some time. You have important things to do.
If you're not going to do it, give it back to me, because I didn't finish it. So.
Oh,
very good.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, coming up next, 6 minutes after the hour, talking with Constantine from Sega of America about Condemned and Condemned 2. I know.
You didn't even try his last name, are you?
No. Henzopoulos?
Okay, I guess you are going to try.
I guess. Oh, why not? I try with everything else. the listeners win regardless.
Right.
So, we're going to be talking with him from Sega of America coming up 6 minutes after the hour. So if you got your questions, 334-272-9228. Again, I type it in the chat room, but it's laggy. 334-272-9228. Or you can send us an email, everyone@evilavatarradio.com. 6 minutes after the hour, we'll be back here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to 1170 WACV. This is Evil Avatar Radio, and that is music from Bioshock. I don't think I have any other, that's not even scary music, but it's from something that was, you know, kind of a spooky type game, I guess you could say. Anyway, feel free to, enforce my opinion there, Jeremy.
What are you talking about?
I don't know, you're not listening. All right, welcome back to the show. On the line right now, we've got Constantine. I'm not even going to attempt his last name again from Sega of America. Hey, man, you're on the air.
Hey there, how are you? And it's Hansopoulos.
Hansopoulos. All right, I did miss
it. Got
it.
Yeah, that's right.
I missed it earlier when I attempted it, but
no problem.
So how you doing, man? Where are you talking to us from?
San Francisco. San Francisco.
Yeah, and how's things been going? You guys been pretty busy, huh?
Extremely busy. We just basically wrapped up the PS3 version of Condemned 2 about a week and a half ago. Be hitting the streets on Thursday, I believe, and basically we're done. So we're just all waiting to take our vacations now. It's been about 4 months of 100-hour work weeks for us, so it's been pretty crazy. But end result is we're very happy with what we created here.
Now you just
Monolith and Sega created.
You just mentioned the PS3 version. When is there any differences in between the PS3 and the 360 version?
Not really. I mean, one of our aims early on was to make sure that we had, you know, fidelity and parity across both platforms so that when you put both side by side, there's really no discernible difference.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't. We're just as happy with the PS3 version as we are with the 360. We even have our own pseudo-achievements for the PS3. You know, they're not achievements, and you don't get achievement points for them, but
right.
We have lots of unlockables, and they're essentially the same achievements or unlockables that are on the 360 version. But sadly, you don't get points, and you guys should talk to Sony about that.
Well, we're supposed to...
Or entitlements or something.
Yeah, we're supposed to get something when Home releases, but I have no idea. You know, I heard mention that they were going to be integrating some things from... like some from Uncharted and Warhawk and that sort of thing. I don't know if they've approached you guys about doing anything with Condemned.
Not for Condemned, mostly because, you know, they're not ready to launch Home yet. Although
right.
they were sort of pushing us to get involved, but you know, we have to be your game's got to be done and Home's got to Home needs to be done before we can actually support that. And they're still Sony's still a ways away from getting that out the door.
Mm.
But, you know, we absolutely will in the future, you know, for other projects, you know, should we do a Condemned 3 or whatnot, you know, all the other games. That
should we do a Condemned 3? What are you talking about?
Oh, well, you know, I can't let the cat out of the bag.
So,
but basically, yeah, we absolutely will be supporting Home, you know, for future products. One thing we will be supporting on Condemned 2 on PS3 is downloadable content. We absolutely will be supporting new map packs. Potentially new game modes, maybe even a new single-player mission.
Nice.
We're kind of sussing all that out right now. You know, the plan is that we absolutely are going to go ahead and support both 360 and PS3, you know, at parity and in parallel.
Good, good. That'd be great. And now, you know, we're talking about versions here. Any plans for a handheld release? Any DS version of Condemned or a PSP version of Condemned?
You know, it'd be pretty tough to do, and we really have to really... kind of change the whole nature of the game around. I mean, Condemned is a sort of first-person, you know, visceral, in-your-face, hand-to-hand, mono-y-mono game. And to be honest with you, you know, I haven't really even thought about doing a DS or PSP version, but now that you got my brain running, you know, I'm already starting to think, Streets of Rage.
There you go.
What's that?
Exactly.
Something like that.
That would be great.
No plans at the moment, but we appreciate the you guys planting the seed, so we'll see.
Just give us some credit.
Absolutely.
That'd be great. Well, you know, it's just, I would never look at Condemned and think, okay, it needs a handheld release. But then again, and I didn't look at Assassin's Creed and think it needs a handheld release, but somebody thought it did, apparently, and it, you know,
yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah, so who knows? I guess maybe...
I mean, part of it, too, is we need to make sure that our original IPs are on the right platforms. And, you know, again, Condemned, high-def game, really great sound, you know, creepy visuals, great atmosphere, absolutely brutal hand-to-hand combat. It's kind of hard to take that experience and put it onto a DS without disconnecting the player from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why we immediately discounted. We just said 360, PS3, potentially a PC version.
That was one of our questions that was asked in the thread that we created for this, was any details on a PC version of the game.
At the moment, no. We're you know, I really can't say too much about it. We're kind of, you know, again, we're sort of focused on getting the 360 and PS3 versions of this game done, and then we're going to be moving on to other things. But we're definitely thinking about it. You know, Condemned 1 did okay on the PC. Didn't quite do as well as, you know, 360 did. But, you know, we're firm believers in the PC market. We actually have quite a few games here that are in development for the PC. You've got, obviously, Universe at War. We've got Space Siege we're doing with Gas Powered Games coming out. A few other projects that I can't talk about that are PC-centric.
Right.
So, you know, for us, it's all about the right IP on the right platform, I guess.
No, and that makes sense for you. That makes sense as well, because, you know, they've tried to put out MMOs on the console. Not really MMOs, but what, RTSs, I suppose?
RTSs or something.
RTSs where, you know, the controls just didn't seem to translate as well as you would. Well, you really wouldn't think they would translate well.
Absolutely. Well, it stands to reason because, you know, on a PC, you've got a precision mouse-based interface, right? You can immediately get to a unit you need to get to, lasso a unit, drag it, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, change that to a controller, and you're talking about a whole new different paradigm on how to actually control. It is not a precision mouse-based environment. It's kind of a clunky, you know, for RTSs, it's sort of a clunky kind of way to get around. And no one's really hit the sweet spot yet to create a, what I, at least I think, create a really compelling RTS on, aside from Herzog's Way, but we're going way back, right? Way back.
Wow.
Right? No one's really been able to sort of develop a, I don't know how to call it revolutionary. To me it's more about being seamless and not fighting the interface, if you understand what I'm saying.
No,
but
exactly.
To play the game and not fight the interface.
Yeah, exactly.
And most RTSs on consoles these days, and there aren't that many, but most that I played, and I pretty much played them all, I tend to find myself fighting the interface.
Yeah, well, and obviously that's not something you want to do, so.
Yeah, so I end up playing them on the PC.
You
so
don't want to, yeah, you don't want to cripple, you don't want to cripple your player. Right out of the gate,
exactly.
and the consumer as well. All right, so talk about Condemned. Condemned 1 released. Oh, the idea for Condemned, where did that come from?
From the twisted minds at Monolith and Sega, I guess. We kind of got together, and we were sort of shooting around different ideas. We knew we wanted to create a horror game. We knew we wanted to do something that was very different than... your traditional shooter. We wanted to sort of eschew guns and really focus more on hand-to-hand combat.
Focus more on anything you could pick up, really.
Exactly. Well, I would almost call it emergent gameplay in a combat-style environment. The one thing about Condemned 2, I sort of really want to point out, is the combat is incredibly deep and emergent, so that, you've got 10 different ways, 15 different ways to take a guy down. And that's what we're finding out, is a lot of people are just saying, wow, it's really fun to just, like, bash people in the head with a pipe and then throw it at them and then, hit them with the taser and then finish them off. So it's kind of like Bioshock in a way. There's so many different ways to skin a cat. So
we actually mentioned that just in one of our own private conversations a few days ago.
Yeah. We went back to play this after we had played Bioshock, and he was using the taser before he had the super taser.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, you do the taser, then
taser
you do a
smash.
Shot. Yeah, taser, smash,
shoot.
And you're good. Yeah. But you guys had that first, obviously, before Bioshock implemented that whole 1-2 punch type
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. And, I would be remiss to say that, I used to work with all the guys who work for Rational. I'm an old ex-Looking Glass guy, so I spent 8 years at Looking Glass Studios. I worked on all the Flight Unlimited stuff, Thief, System Shock, and, Ken is
We're very
my
fond
best
of you
friend.
Now.
Ken is one of my best friends, so is John Shea. Actually at GDC last week, I was chatting with the lead animator at Bioshock, Sean Robertson, another good friend of mine, and he's just like, came running up to me, and he's like, I can't wait for Condemned 2, it inspired us. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's just like, no, the wrench, dude, all that knockback and reel, that came right out of Condemned. I was like, wow, thanks,
awesome.
Guys. I mean, that's a really, really nice thing to say. You don't have to say something like that because, you guys are pretty much game of the year, and you can stand on your own laurels, but it's really nice for you to sort of give us that nod, and we also keep it in the family as well, It's a great, great community of folks out there. Everyone is really passionate about what they do, and it's just great to see other developers appreciate the games that we work on and vice versa.
Yeah, and that's great to hear, actually. That's something we like to hear. Condemned, going back to Condemned, you guys did a great job at making a scary game and one that a lot of us in this room cannot play by ourselves or in the dark. what we've come to find out with the really good ones, with your really good ones, your Resident Evils, and again, your Condemned, it's a fun game to play with a group. It's a co-op, but not a co-op type situation.
Sure.
Yeah,
for
us, it sits somewhere between an actual co-op experience and a hot seat party game or something like that.
Sure.
And like one guy, which for Condemned, it was me. And I should point out, Condemned was the first FPS I played on a console. So I had I had recently gotten away from playing FPS on the PC,
sure,
and I was
sure.
playing it on the console. And so there's my clumsy human thumbs trying to figure out how to play first person shooter, and I'm nominated the controller guy. But we have an entire group of people hanging around to, at times, sort of disseminate the fear and the tension. At other times,
sure,
to sort of
right.
feed back into it.
That's
and
right.
it's for us been one of the most brilliant examples of a game that we can't stand to play alone. Like, we've gone through it step by step, but we all have, we've got to be there. I've got to go over to Scott's house, and we have to sit down, and we'll make an event of it.
Great.
And it's just, all of the great thrills you could possibly get from a horror film, but, it translated in such a much more visceral way. Like, it's just,
right.
it's an amazing type of gameplay that you can't really experience with any other kind of game. It's very, very specific to intimate horror.
Right. We don't even call it a first-person shooter, actually. We call it a first-person action game. And I know that's maybe splitting hairs, right? I'm sorry, it's my Boston accent coming through. You'll have to... Every once in a while, my Boston accent will pop through.
It's a hair worth splitting, though, to be quite honest. I did a lot more swinging of pipes than shooting of guns.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. But we wanted to give a taste of something to everyone. And again, it's about you don't have to run through the game. You know, you do get guns. We have beefed up the amount of guns in the game, the amount of weapons that you can come across. But also, you know, I tend to like the hand-to-hand combat, and other people may like running and gunning. Other people may like, you know, using multiple weapons or throwing weapons. The point is we leave it up to the player to decide how they want to play the game. And, you know, that's the best possible solution is let the players play the way they want to play. Right, because that's ultimately the most satisfying experience, as I say, sort of a water cooler conversation. Oh, I did it this way.
Yeah,
oh, wow,
exactly.
Man, I did it this way. That's so cool. I got to go home and try that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very endearing. It really is.
And you know, it's pretty cool that you guys are kind of all sitting on the couch. You got one guy controlling the game, and you've got another, you know, a bunch of people sitting around, you know, sort of yelling stuff at you know, kill him.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great.
Right.
We had because like I would like. I would be so concerned about things crawling out of bookcases that I wouldn't pay attention to where I was going. So I had like other people who were responsible for telling me which way I was supposed to do and what the whole purpose of my existence was at that particular point.
Right.
I was worried about counting ammunition, making sure that my weapon was not going to break at any point in time, watching for that hobo swing back that they do in the cheek.
That little counter attack.
And no, it's a perfect, perfect experience to share with other people. And I find that even if you're the person not in control, that the experience isn't diminished at all. There's just something very particular.
His example for that was that there was a scare in the game that didn't scare him, but the reaction that everybody in the room had got to him. Everybody else's scream over that scare
is what set me off. Yeah,
that's great.
I don't know if that's just his way of excusing himself for being scared, or if it really felt that way.
That's
but, you
okay.
know.
I mean, some people get scared more than others. I mean, there've been, you know, I mean, I've played this, as you can probably imagine. I've beaten the game about 15 times, and I've played just about every mission in the game. Oh, at least over 100 times each.
Wow.
And, you know, the crazy thing for me is normally, and I'll just be straight up and honest with you, and you can pretty much ask any developer this, by the time you're done with a project, the last thing you want to do is play your game.
Right.
You want to go play someone else's game.
Right.
And, it's one of these things where myself, my two APs, Marty Kaplan and Josh Morton, we're all sitting around and we're just playing and playing and playing the final version of the game, and we're looking at each other going, this doesn't make any sense. We're supposed to hate this now. We don't want anything to do with this. And, you know, that to me is always a sign of a great game. And we really worked hard on the moment-to-moment gameplay, building those scares in. That takes implementation, iteration, sometimes failure. And what I mean by that is sometimes we'll put we think we have something great on paper. This sounds like a great scare moment. And we'll put it in the game and we'll find out, it's not actually that scary. So we need to iterate on it. And that was one of the great things that I think really helped us make this a great game, in my humble opinion, is that Monolith really understands the process of implementation, iteration, re-implementation, and reiteration, and so on and so forth, until they get it right.
Well, let me tell you, they've gotten scares right. They've gotten this... what they've gotten right is the ability to make me fear doing anything that takes control out of my hands.
Yeah.
both in Fear and in Condemned, anytime you go up or down a ladder, you lose control of your character.
Yeah.
And that is a scary thing to put the player into because it's like, well, whatever's about to happen, I have no way to look away from.
So if
something's about to come out and do whatever. So, you know, I commend them on, curse them on doing that to me. But, I mean, it's a great scare tactic. But the other thing is, as far as Condemned 1 and as far as we've gotten through with it, which I think at the section right now that a lot of us are in, we're in the pool section of Condemned 1,
the swimming pool
part. So we got to go through that before we get into Condemned 2, but we're all about doing that. But still, I gotta commend you guys on what scare was it that we had early on where you looked over a ledge?
Are you talking about the mannequins in the apartment? In the
Well, the mannequin level itself altogether, guys. Geez.
They didn't have to do anything.
They just being there was horrible. But there was this thing. I think you stepped over a barrier.
No. Yeah, I stepped over. You step over a chain barrier.
Yeah.
Adjacent to a stairway. You step over. You step over that, and there's a door to your right, and the stairway is down to your left. And while stepping over the chain, you turn and sort of spin where you're facing the previously closed and you thought an opening door.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you get literally the bums rush and are shoved down the stairs.
That's
and
right.
Some heart palpitations into the mix.
So
it was fabulous.
Yeah. We have a few homages. I don't want to spoil it for folks, you know, but we definitely have a few homages to Condemned 1 and Condemned 2.
Oh, God.
You'll come across them. Different kind of scare moments, but, you know, you'll be seeing some old friends, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
at least I won't be alone.
I'd love to talk to the guy that sat in the room when you guys were going over this game and said, I've got this great idea of an abandoned mall and all these mannequins that could or could not be, you know, things
yeah,
you have
absolutely.
To deal with.
That was a collective effort by everyone at Monolith and Sega.
My God.
We actually had a really great work. We still do. We have a fantastic working relationship with the guys at Monolith. They listen to us, we listen to them, you know, and it's really about best brains and getting our heads together to iterate on great moment-to-moment gameplay, because that's what I'm a firm believer in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in great moment-to-moment gameplay, which to me, you know, companies like Valve, Irrational, Infinity Ward, Monolith, these guys know how to create great, compelling. Every time I'm taking a step, is something cool going on? Is there something cool for me to see? Is there something cool for me to do? Is there something cool for me to investigate? So on and so forth. So there's a constant trail of breadcrumbs for the player that are tasty, and they just want more, right? See those breadcrumbs, right? I want to keep going through this game. And that's something that we really worked hard on with both Condemned 1 and Condemned 2. Now, obviously, being a launch title for 360 somewhat hampered us on Condemned 1. We didn't really, you know, it's very, very tough being a launch title, mostly because the hardware is not mature. I mean, we were working with beta kits right up until the day we shipped. And that's pretty nerve-wracking, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've got to admit, we had to sacrifice some features that we wanted to put in Condemned 1. And, you know, were we proud of the game? Absolutely. Totally proud of the game we made with Condemned 1. But I have to say that Condemned 2 is the game that we really wanted to make.
Well, let me tell you something. One of the reasons it's taken us so long to get through the game is that we absolutely will not play it.
We can't.
without the group. We started with this group. We will play it with this group.
I mean, James, he tried.
Yeah, I tried, and I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to get with everybody. This is specifically how it's
great.
But, you know,
a group hug.
But, yeah, it absolutely holds up. I mean, it was a launch title, and, you say you're obviously working in a certain amount of duress compared to people
what
who developed it later. But
what was the save date we had? From our last...
Oh, it was like, almost a year ago. It was May.
We picked it up. Oh, no. It was worse than that. We started going back into the game because we knew the release of Condemned 2 was coming out. So we jumped back in it, two Sundays ago?
Yeah.
And it was... We checked the save date. It was May 7th, 2006 or something like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
it was,
wow.
Yeah. 2 days ago.
Because we just couldn't get everybody together. But now it's like we're determined to get through this go into the other one. So.
Excellent.
But yeah, I got to say, like, jumping back into it honestly holds up. It still looks really, really good. It still plays, it plays great. And it's very clear that it's not trying to play like any other FPS. I mean,
right.
You know, your statement
right.
that it is not actually an FPS holds really, really true.
We're
actually very, very anxious to get into the second one at this point.
It's really easy to pigeonhole the game into an FPS. Just because people don't really, you know, it's sort of like when Bioshock came out, people were like, well, what is this game? It's not really an FPS. It's not really an adventure game. It's not really. It's more of a combination, an amalgamation, and combination of all these things that just basically gets it right on every single point. And you know, again, it's the sum of its parts. I guess was what I'm trying to say. You know, it taking
right.
as if you deconstruct it all, it's like, this is okay, and this is okay, and this is okay. But put it all together, and man, what a great gaming experience! And it's the same thing with Condemned. It really is. a culmination and a sum of its parts, right? Because without that great sound, you're not going to get that creep factor. Without those crazy psycho hobos coming after you,
right,
you're not going to get what I call the pucker factor, right?
Yeah, man.
Extreme pucker factor.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God! Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, when a hobo starts by running away from you, and you start feeling pretty good because you think you've got him on the runaway, he's just a hobo. And it turns out he was just running down the hall to grab that giant pipe off the wall before
Absolutely.
He comes back and swings it at you. All of a sudden, you know, I'm just saying, I don't feel quite as not as much full of fortitude as I was mere moments before. So.
The other thing I want to make a comment about is we're really proud of the AI we created for both Condemned 1 and Condemned 2. You know, they would outflank you. They would act intelligently, go grabbing weapons, you know, looking for weapons of opportunity, so on and so forth. You always felt like AIs were acting in a, you know, as believable as an AI can be in a video
right.
game, you know, in a fairly believable way. And that, you know, I've had lots of friends come up to me and say, you know, friends in the industry going, Jesus, man, how did you guys get that AI? It's like, well, it takes a lot of iteration, like I said. You know, it's all about implementation, iteration. It's like, wow, this works cool, but this doesn't work cool. Maybe we can morph that into this. And, you know, great games are not made overnight. It takes a tremendous amount of time and effort to make, you know, what we consider AAA games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these cycles are 24 months, 30 months, 36 months, you know, crazy. I remember when I got into this industry in 1992, we thought $100,000 in a year was like the most amazing budget timeline we'd ever get. It was like, oh my God, someone gave us $1 million. Now we're all rich. And, oh, that can't even get you an Xbox Live Arcade game now. So as the stakes go up, you know, my philosophy is always about, you got to make good games first. You know, sales, all that stuff, that all stems from making great, compelling games that engage people on various levels, whether it be scaring the crap out of them or making them feel all warm and fuzzy inside, you know, or like Rock Band. You know, I'm a musician. I play in a local San Francisco indie band with a bunch of other game developers. And
you can plug that if you want to.
Years, 8-Bit Idiots. We play all over San Francisco. Myself, guy from EA, guy from Sony, and another guy from Sega. But basically, we write all our own original stuff, and we just play around San Francisco, and we have fun. This is how we let off our stress, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, our job is like making video games, and that's pretty stressful, actually. So, you know, we don't have executives yelling at us or anything. It's like our band is our own little thing, right? But the point I was trying to make here is that for years I would, you know, I'm 43 years old, and, you know, for the past 5 years, 6 years, some of my friends have been like, so dude, why are you playing a stupid band? You know, I don't get it. Rock Band comes out. Do you think that question gets asked anymore? Everyone knows why we play in a Rock Band, right? I just simply say, you know that feeling you get when you just sit down with all your friends and you guys jam through a session on Rock Band? You're like, yeah, multiply that times 1,000.
Yeah.
When you're playing a gig or you're doing the real thing. And again, it's that great it's hard to define it, if you know what I'm saying, because it's so elusive, but it's that great, I guess I would call it delicious interaction, if you know what I mean.
No, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so, you know, games like that are always the best, you know, whether it be, you know, Bioshock or Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed or whatnot. Just great moment-to-moment gameplay. That's what, you know, compels people, gets them engaged in the game, gets them to play through it, and also gets them to tell their friends about it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you got to try this. This is amazing. You know,
and that's what we've done. I think back in, we did a Halloween episode, and I think that kind of spawned some people to go back and start playing Condemned again. And then even us talking about it a couple of weeks back last week when we had played it as a group, I think again more people were like, you know what, I still haven't finished that. I need to go back and finish that up. And it got some people back into it. And I think, you know, you guys were a launch title, and so, you know, over time it kind of got buried in this mound of just tons of games for the 360. But people still remember it, and people still remember that, you know what, I did enjoy a lot of that, and I need to go back and finish it, because I never did. How they finish it by themselves, I have no idea. But, yeah.
Well, it's pretty, you know, I'd be remiss to say that, like, you know, Condemned 2, at this point, game does not scare me at all, obviously. Because, you know, like I said, I've played every single mission 100 times.
What does scare you?
You know. What does scare me? Giant development budgets.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, it's like taking an original IP and trying to do something different and bringing that to market, convincing my executives to do this game, to spend $16, $18, $20 million to let me make this game.
I guess so.
With original IP, that kind of stuff scares me.
Well, okay, what other than Condemned and Condemned 2, what video game has scared you, that you've played lately?
I would have to say, Eternal Darkness. Absolutely.
Good job.
Not that it scared me, but what messed with my head in a big way. And I tell you why, because I had just bought a brand new Sony 32-inch picture tube, Vega. Right? I just bought this thing, right? I mean, 2 days. And, of course, get my GameCube, right? Eternal Darkness. I'm playing it. And, you know, the whole sanity system and so on and so forth.
Right.
And my TV goes, psh, boom, and I flip out. I mean, I just bought this thing. You know, but I was going to swear there for a second, but I held myself. I just bought this thing. What the heck? You know, I'm grabbing the remote control. I'm pressing the on button. Like, I'm hitting the volume. I'm going, what the heck is going on? And then, you know, boom, TV turns back on. And I'm just, well, what? All right, well, I don't know. Maybe it was just a glitch. I don't know. And I continue playing. And it was that kind of stuff that, like, that was a great moment for me in gaming because, it was just so unexpected. I did not expect it to happen, and it completely messed with my head.
It did.
In a way that I've never been messed with before.
And there were so many other ways that it messed with your head after that, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. My God.
Walking into a room and seeing a person's head just fall off, and then 2 seconds later it's back on. Looking at your own bloody body in the bathtub.
The bathtub scene, yeah, that was rough.
Now, I'm partial to this. We haven't announced this project. All we've done is announce the relationship but my next project is with Silicon Knights, and we haven't announced it yet. But we've announced the relationship. Sagan's, as you probably know, Sagan, Silicon Knights have been working on a game now for a couple of years. I'm the project director on it, and I'm working with those guys. And actually, that's where I was last week up in Canada. That's all I can say. That's all I can say, but Eternal Darkness is one of my favorite Cube games and just one of my favorite horror games. And, we just went right after Silicon Knights. That
sounds like the sort of thing that only good things can come of.
Absolutely. At least that's what we're hoping. It's been a long road. So it's still got a long road to hoe, but pretty happy.
Well, let me get to the thread here with some of these questions. Now, a lot of people, when they heard about the Monolith stuff, and I am to blame on that when I gave the thread title Ask Monolith and then said we're talking we're talking to Constantine from Sega. The questions kind of veered a little bit away from Condemned. However, let's go through the rundown here and you can answer what you can and just, say no comment on what you can't. Turbo Kenny asks, do you like green beer?
I do like green beer. Today's St. Paddy's Day and I'm married to an Irish lass, so how can I not like green beer? I have to like green beer.
Did you do the corned beef and cabbage today?
Absolutely. Tonight we're having corned beef and cabbage. My wife is making me a wonderful little Irish dinner to infuse my Greek blood with a little Irish.
There you go. Gunny Mo asks, any word on No One Lives Forever 3?
Yes. Now we're talking about one of my favorite single-player games of all time.
That's a great game.
Absolutely stellar game. And every time I'm up at Monolith, which is about once a month, I'm up there for about a week. And, I ask them the same question every time. Guys, will you please make No One Lives Forever 3? What do I need to do to make this happen? Sadly, that's all WB. Sega really doesn't have any involvement with that. Because if we did, I'd be doing my damnedest to get it done.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people...
I really hope there's a No One Lives Forever 3. I love the first two NOLFs. They were excellent, excellent single-player games. Great examples of awesome moment-to-moment gameplay. I'll even throw Aliens vs. Predator 2. Not the first one, but the second one, which I also thought was an absolutely superb use of a license that, Monolith just created another great, scary game. I don't know if you guys have played AVP 2, but the Marine and Predator campaigns are just out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so, but yeah, to answer your question, I don't know. I really hope so.
You really hope so, exactly.
It would be a great time to see it. I mean, first-person shooters blossoming so well on
absolutely
the consoles. There's a great market for it. People who probably have never heard of either of the previous two games and don't know what a great pedigree it has.
And I think also people are a lot more open to depth now in their gaming. You know, if we went back maybe 3 years ago on console, you know, 4 years ago, I don't think people were really ready for games like BioShock and whatnot, you know? I really don't. I think that was, you know, back at Looking Glass, you know, we made System Shock and System Shock 2, two incredibly, incredibly critically acclaimed games that really didn't sell that many copies.
Yeah, we play at the altar of System Shock 2.
And go, like, everyone loves this. Why is this not selling? And, you know, part of it is people just wanted run and gun. And now I think people are really sick of that. They want more story. They want more depth. They want more player choice.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, again, that's where kind of No One Lives Forever and, you know, falls into that category with great, great player choice and great single-player moment-to-moment gameplay.
Slipstream asks if the game, if Condemned 2, is region-free. He's from Belgium, but he's visiting the States right now. He's actually in Austin, Texas. He said that if the delay of the PAL version, he might just pick up a U.S. version if it's region-free while he's while he's in the States.
So is he specifically looking for PS3 or 360?
I believe 360.
Okay, so 360 is worldwide, and it's already out. So, you know, it's basically 360 is region-free, whereas PS3 is not.
Okay.
PS3 are two separate territories, North America and Europe. And that's just the way Sony has it set up. We would love to be able to do worldwide region-free because it makes our life much easier on the development side. But that's really a Sony issue, and there isn't really much we can do about that. So we have two separate versions for Europe on PS for Europe and America on PS3, one for Sony of America, the other for Sony of Europe. But that doesn't mean that the two games you cannot play against each other in multiplayer.
Okay, good.
Okay, yep, absolutely. No,
very good.
It just means that basically it boots up on a PAL system, it boots up on an NTSC system, and actually displays the right logo. That's basically it.
Okay.
That's it.
Adam Blue, he didn't really ask. He just says Blood 3.
Ah, Blood.
Yeah, that's another one.
Clever Blood 1, and I love that game. Again, I don't work for Monolith. Again, one of those things where when I'm in their offices, you know, it's Tron, it's Blood, it's No One Lives Forever. I say the same things over and over again. Guys, you got to make these games.
Well, add the force of add the force of our community behind it as well.
Yeah,
Nolf, Blood. I don't care.
Tron,
I would be there. Oh man, and Tron again, another criminally underplayed game.
Absolutely.
That game was absolutely fabulous, stem to stern.
I loved it. They nailed it, too. I mean, it was like look and feel, and I really felt like I was sucked into the world of Tron.
Mm. Yeah.
Really, really, I played it on the PC. Really, really enjoyed it. It's a super game. Felt a lot like System Shock to me, actually. I kind of was playing it and going, wow, a lot of homages to System Shock here. That's great.
Man, you guys need to stop before you make me install that again.
Yeah. Oh god.
Totally.
So good.
Soraris. Soraris. Well, here's another one for you. Okay.
This is another one that I would get totally behind.
I promise you, the Condemned questions are coming up. I'm sorry.
Okay,
no problem. I had to steer it. You know, I screwed up by saying Ask Monolith, but I had to kind of steer it back. But here's Soraris saying, are they ever going to make another Shogo?
Shogo.
Well, I will let Monolith speak about. I'll let you know. I know, but I don't. So that's
this is a different answer.
This is a very different answer.
This is a much different answer than what we've gotten.
There might be a little
so
hope
far.
In that
yes,
one.
Yes, it is. So I can neither confirm nor deny.
Excellent. I know what that means.
Otherwise, they'll take me up behind a chemical shed and shoot me, I think. So no comment. Here's hoping.
No comment on Shogo.
All
right. I think we can live with no comment.
We can totally live. Sandman asks, here's something I always wondered about Condemned 1. Why didn't they make the Xbox 360 console or a power brick, an in-game weapon?
Ah, yes. You'd be interesting to know that console manufacturers do not like you to use their kits as weapons.
So okay.
We actually had PlayStation 3s and 360s and Condemned 2.
Right.
Pick up and bash someone in the head with it, but in that effect, one of the moves we had was a keyboard kill. You could like wrap the controller around someone's neck and choke them out, right?
Oh wow!
No, console manufacturers do not. It's like cars, right? You know,
yeah.
If you use licensed cars, no defamation.
No, yeah, exactly. I was going to say it's just like
no thing.
Just like Gran Turismo.
Yeah, same thing with Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo. They were like, what's this? We don't want our console represented in a bad light. And
right.
They're like, okay, so, you know, couldn't do it.
Let's see. Bingley Joe asks, now that Condemned 2 is shipped, what's next for Monolith?
Obviously they have Project Origin.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of next, their Fear sequel they've got coming. And after that, I can't really speak much for that. I mean, this is sort of the, we wrapped up Condemned 2 with Monolith. They've got, I believe, 3 titles in development. The only one I can actually speak about is Project Origin. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everything else, top secret, has not been announced yet.
All right, cool. That's fine. That works
so,
well.
So, you know, their focus is still creating original, compelling, great IP. They're a AAA powerhouse, and that's their basically their mission is to continue on with AAA IP. So we can expect, as usual, great games out of those guys. They're just so super talented and such a joy to work with.
Yeah, they are. Evil Avatar himself asks, why did they feel it was necessary to add multiplayer to what was a dominantly a single-player game? Wouldn't that take away resources from the development of the single-player?
Ah, yes, and now we venture into marketing land. I always like to ask the question when I'm in product development. I basically run the project for Sega. You know, as I like to say, I'm kind of the Bagman assassin, right? I work directly with Monolith. I'm the guy responsible for the overall project. One of the questions that came up, a lot of people were asking for multiplayer in Condemned 2, and I was kind of scratching my head going, I don't really see it. I don't really see it, but okay. And again, it's one of these things where marketing will come back and say, well, we can sell this many more copies if we put multiplayer in there, as long as it's good, and so on and so forth, but I have to be honest with you, I'm really happy with the way multiplayer turned out because I think, aside from deathmatch and team deathmatch, which everyone has done, and we sort of had to include that, I really think Crime Scene and Bum Rush are two very, very unique game modes that are perfectly suited to Condemned.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's one of those, I don't want to say it's a selling point because we did more than just make it a selling point, we really tried to make it work.
Right.
But, if I had my druthers, talking about me, right, personally, if I had my, if I were king of the world, right,
right.
And didn't have to answer to anyone, right, just me, I would have not done multiplayer for this game.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, no, that's good to hear. There is Karak, I believe is his name. He has a ton of questions. I don't know that I'll be able to get to all of them, but I would like to send you his questions, and if you can answer them, I'll get it back to him. But let's see. Is the sound 5.1?
Yes.
Can the guns be modified?
No.
Well, we already talked about the DLC. Let's see. Drinking modifies shooting ability. Lack of drinking, that is. Does it also make you stagger when walking, such as Boiling Point or other games?
The interesting thing is this. If you've ever seen a drunk in action, a functioning drunk in action, right, or a functioning alcoholic, we actually did research on this, right?
Oh,
if they can drink and drink and drink and have it not affect them in any way, as a matter of fact, it becomes a positive effect. CTs go away. So basically, if you drink enough in Condemned, you're going to get a little bit of an effect, but it was really a sort of mechanic that we added in. It's like, okay, Ethan is a drunk. We really want to play this up in the game. And one way to do it, and to sort of like naturally help people gravitate towards melee weapons was, basically when he brings up his gun to shoot, he's got the jitters, unless he drinks. And there's no way.
Let's see. What else does he have in here? What was it like programming on the 360? Did the developers learn anything from the past title that bleeds into this one?
Absolutely. I mean, that's just straight across the board, going from, rendering engine to physics to UI to everything. I mean, again, developers really can't make the best of a console until it's been out for about a year. At that point, you really kind of understand the system. You understand memory management. That's one of the biggest issues that we have on consoles is, we're trying to create HD graphics and so on and so forth, but we're squeezing it into 256 megabytes of memory. Right?
Right.
That's unified memory. That's not even video memory. That's unified memory, right? So we really, really, really work hard on those aspects. But, yeah, it definitely was much easier for us this time around Because A, we had our engine up and running to start with. B, we were able to rapidly prototype our combat system based off of Condemned 1, but add in all that depth that we did not have in the first game. Like, first of all, hand-to-hand combat, the finish moves, environmental finish kills, the chain combos, our first-person God of War-style chain attacks. All that stuff, because we had an engine up and running on the 360, you know, from day one on Condemned 2, we were actually able to focus on content as opposed to technology. That's a death. Mm-hmm. And why games actually get delayed the way they do, right, especially in the first cycle of next-gen, is because we're building technology and content at the same time. And you really can't start building your content until your tech is in place. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It becomes a kind of a catch-22 thing, right? It's like, well, wow, we want to add this feature in, but holy crap, our tech doesn't support it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, we're basically starting, how can I put this, in a way that, we definitely learned a lot from being a launch title on the 360, and I can totally say that we squeezed every ounce of memory and power we could out of the 360 to create Condemned 2. We had a much firmer grasp on the system hardware than we did with Condemned 1. You know, it's almost exponential, the grasp we had on how to actually harness the power of the 360 to get it to do the things we wanted it to do.
Right. Spigot asks, make sure you give them props for the in-game achievement meter.
Ah, yes, thank you. Thank you. I want to see more games doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just a great way for you to track, okay, I've got to get the antler achievement. I've got, you know, how many people did I kill with the deer antler? I don't know. And it's like, you can look and say, oh, okay, 8 out of 10. I just got 2 more to go, and I've got it. So thank you for that, because we didn't think anyone would notice.
You know,
it is something that is
Valve
very much
made us notice. I believe it was Valve that
Orange
started.
Box was the first
Box,
place
yeah.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, Orange Box did it first. That's right.
No, it is very much appreciated. That can stay.
Yes.
You guys know
much everything else.
Monolith are right down the street from Valve. So.
Yeah.
Those guys are all friends. They all hang out together and stuff. So.
B.A. Penguin wants
to know. It's always a good thing.
I'm sorry. B.A. Penguin wants to know, how many dead birds are there in the game?
Ah, many, 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 except that we're talking about Condemned 2, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so Condemned 2, actually, the dead bird hunting is gone from the game, right? We now, in place, we have these things called sonic emitters. These generate sort of low-frequency sonic pulses that completely mess with Ethan's vision, it blurs him, and so on and so forth. Around these emitters, you're going to find all kinds of dead birds. So the dead birds are the clues that lead you to emitters, as well as you can use your gas spectrometer, your spectrometer as well, to track them down. So the dead birds are in the game. You'll find them strewn everywhere through the environment, but wherever there are dead birds, you can bet that there's a sonic emitter nearby. You destroy those sonic emitters as part of your tertiary objective. One of the things that we added in Condemned 2 was obviously primary objective, but we also added secondary objectives that pop up halfway through a mission or whatnot, and also tertiary objectives, plus forensics. So you kind of have 4 different kinds of objectives all going on at once in the game. It makes for a very deep, deep, deep experience.
All right, cool. Let's see. We can never go an interview without having this question asked. And Turbo Kenny asks it, Mr. Constantine, how are you so awesome?
Oh, that's so sweet. it's a really sweet thing. It's really, I'm just a guy. I'm very passionate about what I do. I've been in this industry for 15 years. I really consider myself truly blessed. As I jokingly say to my wife, I'm surprised I'm not digging ditches somewhere. I can't believe I ended up where I ended up. But, you know, I'm a programmer by trade. That's where I started. I helped create the world's first C++ compiler for the PC. And I naturally gravitated into games because I've been playing games and started writing my own when I was 10 years old. On my Atari, my Atari 800. That's my advice to everyone out there. If you're passionate about games and you feel like this is something you want to do with your life, the tools are out there for you to learn. And get to know someone, go to the GDC local chapter meetings, get to know people, before you know it, you'll probably find yourself with a foot in the door in the gaming industry. And it's a wonderful, wonderful industry to be in. I feel blessed every day I wake up and I go, holy crap, I make games for a living. It doesn't get any cooler than this. It just doesn't. Well, maybe being a rock star, but that's never going to happen. So, the next best thing.
you're further in it than I am, so, you know, as far as the rock star thing's concerned.
Well, I don't know about that. But,
trust me, you are. Hey, are you going to be at PAX this year?
I shall be, absolutely.
Great.
Excellent.
We're going to be out there, so we'll look for it as well.
I'll make it a point to see you guys, and also make sure you guys get a couple T-shirts. I hope I didn't give the whole farm away.
No, I don't think so.
We can't basically have everyone on EA going, I want a shirt! We can't do that. So.
No, not at all. Hey, Matt, we really appreciate your time. You have been a great guest to have on the show, one of our more talkative and
very forthcoming. We appreciate
it. Yes, very honest and forthcoming with what you can apparently say. So, you know, thank you so much.
Again, to me, just be straight up, and, you know, I mean, we're very proud of the game we made, and I really hope people enjoy it. At the end of the day, that's what I get away from it. When I, you know, I bump into someone who I don't even know sometimes, you know. We were in EB the other day, you know, and I was picking up No More Heroes for the Wii. Because I love Gucci Tsuda and I love his art style. The guy's out of his mind, and I just love it, right?
Yeah.
And this guy standing in front of me, going like, "Oh man, I just picked up Condemned. This game is a bomb." It's just, I'm just sitting there, a big smile on my face, going, "He doesn't even know who I am, but I can't tell you how happy this guy is making me right now." This is what it all comes down to for me. It's like when someone plays the game and really has an enjoyable experience with it, then you know. It's like, it's the greatest feeling ever. You know, it's like scoring perfect in Rock Band, you know? It's like, yes, it feels so good.
That is a good feeling, let me tell you. Or at least just getting a fifth star, that's a good feeling.
Exactly, getting a five star, right, on Expert, Cowboy from Hell.
Let me ask you this. Outside, I don't even know if you can step outside of the PR for just a second. What is a game coming up that is not, you know, it's not Monolith or Sega or anything, but a game that you personally are really looking forward to coming out in?
Yes. Absolutely. I have to say, believe it or not, this may catch you guys by surprise. There's two games I'm really looking forward to, mostly because I know the people who are working on them. One is actually Bloombox. Do you know Steven Spielberg's little Wii brick game?
Right, yeah.
That is being done by Doug Church. Doug Church is one of the smartest people in the gaming industry. He's the guy that brought you Ultima Underworld, System Shock, System Shock 2, Thief, and all those amazing, amazing games that Looking Glass popped out. No one knows who the guy is, but he's my hero in this industry.
Yeah.
And so I'm psyched for that, and also I'm psyched for I believe it's Borderlands. That is... the Badlands of Borderlands, it's Gearbox's Mad Max style game that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
I'm a huge, I love Interstate 76. I don't know if you guys remember that game from way back, but, you know, every day, you know, driving into work, I wish I had grenade launchers and, you know, 50 millimeter machine guns on my car, because if you've driven in San Francisco, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm really excited for Borderlands. It just looks like, you know, free roaming, open world, you know, great car combat, excellent upgrades, part trading, betting, all this great stuff. It's everything I want to see in a car combat game, so I am super, super excited for that.
Well, thanks so much, man. We got to run. You really did great. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and give everyone my best, and thanks to all for tuning in. It is much appreciated.
We really appreciate the games. Give our thanks back to the guys at Monolith as well.
Absolutely will.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, God.
Bye.
All right. Cheers, babe. Okay. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, we got to take a break. We got to go. We'll be back here in just a bit with maybe more of Evil Avatar Radio coming up in just a bit. All right, folks, we ran really late there, but that's going to do it for this Evil Avatar Radio. We will see you next week. We're going to do the after show coming up next. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Now we are.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't occur to me until somewhere in the middle of that interview, looking at everybody's unreasonable and unrealistic questions for the Monolith guy who's actually from Sega. How many Monolith games I actually cherish, things that I haven't thought about for a very long
time. Started snowballing there for a minute, didn't it? It's just like,
You haven't played a lot of those.
No,
games.
I haven't, no.
A lot of those were from a very specific... like kind of a latter golden age of PC gaming. I mean, Monolith specifically, and also, like, obviously a lot of the people, both himself and a lot of the people he's familiar with, have worked on, you know, genre-defining or era-defining games. So it was a very interesting conversation. But, yeah, somebody would bring up Nolf. I mean, yeah. Nolf was great, dude. Nolf was extremely cool. Shogo was an awful lot of fun at the time. It was a little strange, but it was really, really cool.
And apparently Blood.
Man. Blood. Blood 2, yeah, not so much. Blood 2 didn't really have it going on. Blood, the first one? Fucking Christ, that game was great.
What did you... Oh, with the cam?
That's fine.
Oh, man, Jerry's like, don't fuck up my cam, man. It takes like, forever to get it that way.
Did any of you guys play Blood?
I did not.
Did you?
Only a very, very little bit. Not enough to
not here
for it to have made an impact on me, unfortunately. But I've heard
good things.
Do what?
I've heard good things.
Oh, so great. God, it was creepy. It was one of those games that was a perfect example of why there was like build engine games were really, really great for being scary. Because there was something kind of scary about the build engine. It was just sort of a creepy development environment. Here. Thank you. No, Blood. Oh, my God. Blood was really, really good. I wish Kevin were on the line.
Hot chocolate. We can get him on the line. I can call him.
Man, it's a shame he didn't listen to it. Call him, see if he's, see what he's doing. He would have liked hearing from that guy. I know that he doesn't tune in a lot of times to interviews, but Blood would take him way back.
Let me switch mics now. Because we'll have that problem that we have with pork fry. If I do it the other way. Yeah. Hope I don't pick up a requester.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah, it is. It'll get fixed. Hang on. Hoggy, where are you? There he is.
You could have waited to take a family number.
Yeah, you go.
I can edit that.
Not from our minds.
What the? No.
No, Kevin.
Fail.
Success.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice message system. 6144.
Right.
Not available. To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone,
the
please record your message.
So if you
when you have finished recording,
you
may hang up or press 1 for more options.
You might want to leave a message for Kevin. Kevin, we're trying to call you, but your number just got thrown out all over the internet through the webcam. I'm really sorry about
answer
that.
Answer the phone, bastard. If you had answered the phone, now everybody wouldn't have your number.
So it's kind of your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Throw it back on him. It's your fault, Kevin. All right, well, bye, I guess.
See, now everybody
also,
that heard
also
the number...
Shogo 2 might be coming out, so that you missed that shit.
Yeah, you need to listen to the interview. I know you go back, but you need to listen to that interview, man. So, yeah. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, if you heard there's a number on the webcam, call him and bitch him out for not answering his phone.
Definitely. I'll switch back over to the mics. There we go. All right, so.
I think the chat room is broken again. Or is it just...
It's kind of working.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe it's just because I moved. I'll refresh.
Damn it, I didn't get a chance to get his number. So, yeah. But anyway.
I'm just saying, Blood... Fantastic. What a great game that was. Shogo was a lot of fun. It was wonky, man, but it was really, really cool. That it's ripe for a remake, assuming that's actually what's happening.
No, I was really surprised with Constantine and the fact that... and, you know, we talked about this when we were off the air for a bit. I screwed up. I fucked up and named the thread Ask Monolith, you know, but it was... I didn't want to be like Ask Sega of America and be like, oh, well, what are they going to be talking? Oh, it's condemned? What is, you know, and still get confused. It got people in there, but then I threw in the instructions. However, whenever you tell someone not to do something, chances are they're going to do it. And that's what they did. And so I kept trying to steer it because the email that I had gotten from him seemed so determined that he was not going to talk about anything but condemned-related stuff. Yet, he tells us about Rock Band. He talks about a deal with Silicon Knights. Shogo, again, doesn't really answer on it, but he's willing to answer, you know, or at least to the best of his ability, talk to us about, you know, No One Lives Forever, Blood, Shogo, and any things that aren't also, you know, condemned related. So it was good to see, and I enjoyed that. And his past, his previous work with
Looking Glass.
Looking Glass, yeah.
Man.
That's some awesome like, games.
The amount of respect that he won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At least those two.
His stock went very high.
Yeah.
Upon learning that, you know, not that his current work is by any means unworthy, but that no one else gets to come from Looking Glass. Mm-hmm. Looking Glass was brilliant and a little bit magical. They were. I mean, there was a little bit of an aura surrounding
Kevin Collins back.
surrounding the work that they did, and it died a very untimely and unreasonable death. And like I said, no one ever gets to come from Looking Glass again. That's a very limited number of people who will ever get to say, "Yes, I was a part of Looking Glass, and I was responsible, at least in part, for some of what came out of that studio." Kind of an important thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's very interesting. I'm gonna dream about Shogo too. Dude, somebody, fine, I'll do it.
What do you want?
I want to go on YouTube and find the Shogo intro.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah, the chat was fucked up again for me. Damn it!
That ruins a lot of my fun during the show. I really like to.
I usually can't follow the chat room anyway.
See the responses and stuff in there.
Yeah, exactly. It'll definitely ruin country call-ins, but...
Well, not for them.
It's ringing right now. I'm so tempted to check to see if that's Kevin. But I think he would have texted me or something.
It'll probably be a country call-in.
It probably would be, so we'll get to that later.
It's going pretty good right now.
Yeah. Try to call you, Kevin... Did you find it yet, James?
Lift Tech. Man, I haven't seen this in a while.
Why does Shogo sound like a Tokyo Pop Dance Simulator?
See, the thing is, there's no reason for that. Shogo was like a ridiculously violent first-person shooter, where you also got to like drive around in giant robots and then sort of transform them into things that would do weird stuff. I don't know. It was sort of an incomplete idea, but it was an extremely fun game. It had a great sense of humor, too.
They said they got feedback in the chat room from that.
Oh, well. I can't unfeed back then, sorry. Yeah, Shogo was really good. Actually, it kind of reminds me, did you see that thread in the PC Games Forum? It started in the PC Games Forum, it was about best favorite game intros.
I haven't looked through that, I've seen that, I went through some of it. I didn't go
through it. Actually a really, really good thread. There's a lot of, let's see if I can find it again, but there's a lot of really, really interesting stuff in there. My two favorites made it in, though fairly obvious, but...
I still think Half-Life is probably one of the best game intros.
Yeah.
Like, the most perfect way to introduce you to a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess best game intro could stand... Intro could, like, stand aside from cinematic intro, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because my other favorite is Homeworld. The very first Homeworld, which was entirely cinematic. It wasn't... Mm-hmm. Wasn't like any kind of gameplay intro, but it was a really, really neat thread to look through, and it wasn't exclusively PC games or anything. It just sort of, it started in the PC games forum and sort of enveloped pretty much everything else, but it was a really great thread with like YouTube links to everything anyone was interested in.
Scott, do you guys realize you talked to the people who made Fear? They own my manhood. Did you... No, they've got mine, too. ever since, Fear, that little girl, you'd see shadows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. The biggest one that I got to, and I think it's only for the fact that it was the furthest I'd gotten into the game, was like I had to walk down this ladder.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Your whole body goes into this, it takes control away from the player. And so your guy looks down at the ladder, and then he turns around to put his feet on it, and as he turns and starts going down, something pops up right in front of him on the level he was just standing on. And then you walk down, it just scared the hell out of him. So, yeah. I won't replay it, even though I know what's coming. I still shit myself. Ow. So.
They have a history of scaring me. Blood kind of creeped me out. I mean, it wasn't an entire... It was from, like, a different era of gaming. A lot of the scares were sort of environmental. I mean, we're talking, you know, some amount of time after Doom and Quake, but, you know, well before people started getting into very complex and complicated staging of fear in games. They would simply make you wander through extraordinarily gory environments, and things would pop out of secret doors from behind you and, you know, plunge an axe into the back of your skull. That was fun. Mm-hmm. But see, then, as revenge, you'd get to blow their head off with a shotgun and kick it around like a soccer ball. That was a lot of fun. I liked doing
Did you ever play the Fatal Frame series?
I didn't, and last week when we were talking about that, we were upbraided for not having played, particularly Fatal Frame 2.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah, that's what I'm told.
Well, hey, that's something we should do as a group.
What?
Fatal Frame.
Oh.
Fatal Frame
2. I have both of them on PS2.
Yeah, I haven't experienced
Actually, he has my copy of the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played them. I will take that upbraiding like a man, if that's possible.
Yeah, I'll let you do that one. I know the controls too well.
Right. They want us to call Bone and the girl and Vim, who are all hanging out in Austin right now.
Okay. Yeah.
They want us to call them, so...
Give them a call.
They're drunk, apparently.
Uh-oh.
Look, we never answered the question. Am I allowed to drink on the after show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. I apologize for not answering the question. Because, yeah, you're totally allowed.
All right, here we go.
Wait a minute, how do I get home?
Damn it. That's the other problem. All right, so let's switch over again.
I gotta stop driving myself to the show.
That's what you got Dana for.
She always comes from work. I always come from the home.
That's true, yeah.
That's not good. I need a
Let's see how well this goes.
Hopefully we'll give out their number two.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Vim. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are you doing?
This week. I'm playing No More Heroes.
Yeah? Are you a little bit drunk?
Maybe just a little bit. Yeah.
Obviously a quiet drunk.
Maybe just a little,
Sort of a pensive and introspective drunk.
Something like that.
Right? What have you guys done today?
Museum, and we went to the IMAX.
What'd you see at IMAX?
Grand Canyon.
Oh, the Grand Canyon. That's probably a pretty boring movie on the IMAX.
Not if you're drunk.
Oh, I was thinking of the Danny Glover film.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not
obscure reference. Sorry.
Wait a fuck up, you know, like a moment. That's really good. Thanks a lot.
Sorry. Stupid obscure reference. So, yeah. All right. Having fun?
Yeah, pretty much.
Something's going on in the background. I can't tell. But,
yeah, I'll just have the phone long up.
Did you listen to the interview?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so, I mean, he said that there wasn't, like, he said that it was already out over there.
Yeah, but I think it got pushed back last week.
I'm not sure, but hey, it's totally region free, so you can pick it up.
Yeah, I already did that. That's reading a forum post somewhere.
All right, cool. Good job. All right, let me speak to Eric.
Hold on. Give him to you.
Hello.
Hey, are you also drunk?
Yeah, we're introducing Vim to the American pastime of drinking while gaming.
Drunk game.
It's working out nicely.
Yeah, has he tripped over anything yet?
No. He's doing well. He's acquitting himself nicely.
Well, he needs more drinks.
And that's what I said, is when you get to this point, you know you need to drink more, not that you need to drink less.
Exactly.
But so he's been enjoying the conversion rate for our miserable dollar. Bought himself an iPhone and a Zune. A couple of games that would be censored over his part of the world, like No More Heroes.
Good job.
Yeah.
He's fully taking advantage of it, yeah.
Yes. So other than that, I think we're taking him on the typical Texas, Welcome to Texas history stuff.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
Yeah, what does that entail?
We'll probably go to the Alamo in San Antonio and look at more things about how Texans basically say fuck you to the rest of the world. That's our history. We're proud of it.
Of course. And,
yeah, other than that, we'll do the standard play video games until 4 in the morning.
Nice. What it's
I've been told I'm loud.
Are you?
That's just the alcohol speaking.
Well, it's coming in through the webcam, so my speakers are really turned up pretty high on the computer, on my laptop, for it to pick up everybody's voice. So, yeah,
gotcha.
You're probably coming in pretty loud. Don't worry about it.
I won't.
They could turn their volume down. So.
Yeah, turn your volume down.
I'm not drunk. Your technology is not configured right.
That's totally how it works. All right, let us speak to Anjanette.
I will. Hang on 1 second.
It's your turn.
Hello. So I guess you guys are having the full three-way this evening with all of us.
A full three-way. That's exactly what's going on. Because you guys wanted to call in, so we figured we would.
Well, yeah, Wim really did.
Oh, yeah, well, it was good to talk to him.
Yeah, it's nice having him stateside. Although we're about to get some bad weather tonight, so...
I know.
We're
catching that, I think, in a few days, actually.
Couple, yeah.
Yeah, we're supposed to get hail, and I think we're in a tornado watch right now.
We'll try to use it up before it gets here.
We will do our best, as long as other cities use it up and not Austin.
Yeah, is Show S done over there?
Or Pardon?
What is it, South by Southwest?
Oh, no, that's over.
That's over with? Okay.
Yeah. Although, Eric rocked our asses off in 2 shows during South by Southwest.
I saw the video for one of them.
He's such a fucking rock star.
Did you listen to the interview?
Of course.
Yeah, that dude's in a band as well.
I know. It was so awesome to hear him. As a developer, it's good to kind of hear that from other developers, to know that they're still getting joy out of their games.
Yeah, we were talking about that after we went off. James said something to the effect of he wished, you know, more people like you were in the industry or yourself.
Oh, well, I was just saying that dude was insane about video games the same way that I was.
Right.
And I think that there should be more people like that. Or I'd like to hear from more people like that. I believe...
Agreed.
I believe I said specifically, we need more people in the industry who are tits on fire about video games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really...
Because you guys nailed it on the head. I mean, you have to love video games, because this job will suck it right out of you.
That was the other thing. I thought, you know, if you're that enthusiastic about it, once you get in there, can it all, you know, go to shit? Can that illusion, you know, can that whole illusion fade for you? And then it's like, holy crap, this is not what I was thinking it was going to be.
Well, when I play games now, I see them in a totally different light. Just like, man, I wonder who made that design decision. That would have been a pretty easy fix. I wonder what they did instead of that.
Mm-hmm. And it was good to hear from a PR guy who says, you know what? If I had my way, I wouldn't have put in multiplayer on this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty hot, man, for him to like sort of step aside from what the official decision was.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he took his time. He took a second, and he sort of was like, well, here's the decision. This is what it was. Here was the decision. However, me, as an individual, I do this other thing. It's something that you're always trying to fight with when you're really trying to get someone to just answer my question. Just like really answer my question. I know you can't, but do it anyway.
And it is hard because it is a client-developer relationship. It's a publisher-developer relationship. So both opinions carry as much weight. And which one's right, that's the hard call.
No, that was really cool. I liked that's what it was.
Yeah. So, anyway, so everything else going cool for you guys over there?
Yeah, I think we're going to go down to San Antonio and see the Alamo later this week.
Cool.
You were going to go with us, too, Scott.
I know, you can bring that up if you want to.
Do you tell everyone how you pissed out? You're not coming to Texas?
Man, see, last night I told her I was still hung up on that. She's like, you should get over that. You should stop worrying about it. Yet, here we are again, and she's reminding me about it again. Yeah. No, I couldn't go. It's financially, I could not go. I couldn't go. I wanted to go, couldn't go. And
well, you're here in spirit anyway.
I feel really bad about it. I hate it because I feel like I let you guys down, and it pisses me off.
As everyone listening, as the witnesses here, you promised to come down after we move into our house.
I totally, yes, definitely. Because you guys,
which we're buying next week.
Exactly. You guys are moving in here pretty soon, so. But yeah, I plan to come down, but still, that's not going to make up for me missing this week with all you guys. And so, yeah, thanks for the downer.
Well, you know, this might sound horrible, but I've already told you that as a woman, I will always bring this up.
Exactly. Definitely. So, all right, cool. Anything else you want to say before we let you go here?
No, just everyone, everyone needs to play No More Heroes, period.
I've been hearing a lot of good things. I know that you were turned off a little bit by it because of Killer 7 and the guy that designed it, or the guy that developed it anyway.
Well, not that I have anything against him. I just, I'm not already like tuned in to what's going on there. Also, mm-hmm. Don't have a Wii.
That's true. Don't have a Wii.
That's a hurdle.
There are plenty of other Wiis in the room, so maybe one of you assholes should pick it up and give it a try.
I've thought about it.
It's a brilliant game. It's brilliant.
I may look into it. I don't know. My money right now is going to go towards taking Army of Two back and picking up Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's got to happen. I mean, that's the next mountain we've got to climb. That and actually,
I'm telling you, I can put my face on my character.
I know. I love the single player. I really want to see it finished because the ending sort of left me hanging. I literally left me hanging. B, supposedly they have fixed the issues we had, particularly with the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the issues, it was a brilliant co-op game. I can't walk past that. I've got to do that next. I'm absolutely turned on for that game. I don't know how many people are, but I totally am. So,
well, go back to continue your drinking and your gaming.
Well, thank you, sir. Oh, you gonna hook up with us later, or are you going straight to bed?
As sick as I've been and as horrible as I am, I'm probably going to bed.
Your problem is you don't drink enough. That's why you get sick. If you drank more, the various bacteria and viruses wouldn't be able to gain a foothold in your immune system because you'd be too liquored up. That's cool. Why I don't ever get sick.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll talk to you guys later.
Have a great night, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, heck, and getting drunk improves your aim, too.
Evidently. Wards off the jitters, man.
They tested that, apparently.
Yeah. Come on, man. Who tests that? Except someone who's awesome.
That's a good point. Yeah, exactly.
Why are you so awesome?
Yeah, we have to ask that question.
Yeah, all right, always. Nab. I gotcha.
James, the man is sick. I use a vocabulary code. you know what? We need to have him on.
Nab,
we were supposed to.
The tornado did hit.
We were going to have him on that Monday on the after show, but you know, the tornado came through, so we didn't do a show that week. So next week, what's going on next week? Next week, yeah, we could have you next week. I'll send you an email and we'll work it out so you can come on the show, on the after show and be on with us, and you and James can have a ton of conversations. Since I don't know if he answers your emails or not.
I read about him. Well, it used to be what we would do is he would send me emails and then I would talk about them on the after show.
Yeah.
But we haven't done that in a while. Yeah, that's a little bit disturbing. They did make some kind of modification to the numbers of people able to do co-op. But that's fine. 4-player co-op in the terrorist hunt. That's really where we got our jollies last time. So.
Yeah, it was.
That's perfectly fine this time.
Yeah, it is sad that there's only 2-player story
co-op. Yeah. Mm. What were we talking about earlier? You didn't bring up the. How do you not bring up the Burnout Paradise Island?
Man,
how do you of all people not bring that up?
It was on my shirt. I don't know. There was just so much. You know, we opened with GTA 4 and carried that for like 30 minutes into the program. Maybe even longer than that. And then we did the new games and talked even more GTA 4 after we came back. So yeah, never got around to it. And then all, you know, like the second hour was just Constantine owned that one. So yeah, the Burnout stuff. The islands are going to be free. That's great. The cars, the extra cars and stuff you'll have to pay for. I don't care. I got 76 cars right now. With I think 5 more to go. Yeah, that's like 81 cars. I'm not paying for more cars. I don't care. I got my cars and I want to play. My interest though is how these extra islands that they're implementing is going to work within the game. Are there going to be more stunt runs added? Are there going to be new race events added? If so, are they going to start in there and finish at one of the already determined finishing points? Is there a new finishing point on these islands? Is any of that stuff going to be integrated? Or is it just going to be extra space for you to just drive around it? I can't see that happening. I mean, I can't see that it's just only going to be over there that you can, you know, go over there and get some more ramps and jumps. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more races or something over there that you can do. So I'm kind of curious about how that's going to be integrated. I don't know. But I'd like to.
I was wondering, we get this big news on a Monday. What's coming up Tuesday? Because we always get the like really big news of the week the day after.
Oh, that's right. Do we want to take odds on which studio is being purchased by which other studio tomorrow? Or
if that was the case,
what game franchise is being announced?
My money is on EA buying out Take-Two somehow. They said
to all shareholders, "Hey, we'll pay you."
Yeah.
And then they finally said that, you know, the reason we're picking up Take-Two is because Rockstar. We're really interested in Rockstar. That's
Who wouldn't be?
Well, I understand that. But I remember they said something, GTA, we're not worried about GTA. Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah,
of course they're.
Basically. Why, I don't know. It's pretty much obvious to everybody.
See, somebody told EA that GTA 4 is going to have multiplayer. And they're like, fuck, we got to buy that. We don't mean the game. We've got to buy that company.
I should have a stronger opinion about that. I really should. I mean, I guess I don't want it to happen. More companies is probably better than fewer. I don't know. Maybe. It's not like Take-Two's exactly something extraordinarily small.
Right.
And yeah, I know that EA sucks. So there's that too.
They don't suck as hard these days.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, but like, it doesn't mean they're getting better. It could just be like an interlude of some kind in between two extraordinary periods of suck. You know,
I don't know. I don't know. It's a little bit too big thing for me right now.
Yeah.
What I know is that I got Vegas in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
That
when is that? Is it tomorrow?
It ships tomorrow. That's okay. The ship date, so we should be able to pick it up Wednesday.
When's Dana coming back?
Thursday night.
So what? Tomorrow you want to play Condemned?
Yeah. Well.
Oops. Well.
It would just be us. You and me.
That's true. I guess Jeremy couldn't make it, could you?
Is that when?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
We're Condemned.
What time?
I don't know.
What time can you make it?
Probably between 5:30 and 6.
Like you'd have to leave at 6?
Huh?
You could come, okay.
No, that's what time I could get there.
You said what time can you make it?
Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
That would work.
Sure.
I guess for
yeah,
you as well.
That's fine.
Oh God.
And then two. Who's going to buy two? We going to rent two? We should buy two. We should definitely buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People who come on the show and are really cool.
Damn. Yeah.
Deserve to have their game bought.
Yes, they do.
Also people who make, you know, good games.
And come from Looking Glass.
Man. Yeah.
Scott, did you guys see Phil's interview with this? Yeah, I saw it. I didn't read it. But I did see it because somebody posted it in the forums, and then I read the thread about somebody saying that Dyack was a twat. Right. And then I saw the battle go back and forth between Phil and that guy. But yeah, I mean, I did see the interview. Or saw that he did have that interview. And no, I don't believe Dyack's a twat, so... Don't take those words out of context. I saw some of the questions that Phil asked, and I was like, ooh, yeah, that's really good. And then I wanted to come back and read the interview. I just haven't done that yet. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Human as well. So.
Indeed.
I feel kind of the same way about that whole thing that I feel about Clinton and Obama.
What?
Experience?
No. The whole, that's great that you guys are having an argument, but it really makes the whole playing field look, you're covering the whole field in shit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're making the greater, you're sort of hampering the greater good by, I don't know, pig wallowing all over the fucking place in your little fight. I'm not saying that they are, I'm saying this is how it appears to me.
It's for the great good. Been watching Farscape.
Oh, you know what I got?
What you got?
Should be coming in any day. Dana got me the whole... She got me Stardate.
The entire series?
The whole thing.
Holy crap.
Oh, my God.
No, but fucking Amazon...
They had a sale.
Had a sale.
Mm-hmm.
All 10 seasons with, like, you know, no skimp or anything. Like, you know, the full, like, season 1 through season 10 and the giant pack with, like, all the monkey butt ton of extras for, like, 100...
Monkey butt ton of extras.
For like 165. Yeah. And they're all of them are full production seasons, like 22 episode seasons.
Oh my God.
So, pretty serious shit. And we watched the, Arc of Truth yesterday. Need to do that.
Yes, I do.
Write yourself a memo. Arc of Truth, because the second one, which is, whatever the hell it's called, I can't remember. It's coming out this summer, so the second of the two films should be out in just a few months. It was pretty good, you know. It was like it was Stargate.
Yeah.
But it was very, very interesting. One of the really cool things about it is when you start it, there's an option to play it with kind of a quick little redux of season 9 and 10.
The previously on Stargate.
Only like probably like 10-12 minutes long.
Wow.
And it does this thing. They really upset me, particularly some points in the 9th season, particularly in the 10th, because Daniel Jackson had to go off and have a baby with what's her name? Yeah. And so, like, for fucking, like, 6 episodes running, they couldn't advance the story. So they had to just, like, tell little bullshit stories. Like, meanwhile, fucking Ori are out there, like, raping galaxies, right? But Daniel Jackson... Well, Daniel's in a library in England. He's looking for a thing. So meanwhile, let's have, like, a goofy one-off. And it's like... Also, the Ori are still out there. I just wanted to remind you. But whatever. So there's, like, these just great stretches where you'd sit down every Friday night, and you're like, all right, what are we going to do this week? And... We're not going to do anything. Somebody turn invisible. Or, you know, I don't know.
Did you ever get
They got trapped on a world and they lost their little DHD thing. Or...
Did you ever get past the point on Farscape where John was laying on the table with his brain open?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not terribly far, but, like, okay. Not that full season beyond, but yes.
Okay.
I did.
You ever want to go back to that at some point?
Yeah.
Yeah?
At some point. It was tough. It was hard on me.
Yeah,
it was rough on me. But yeah, anyway, so we watched that. It was really good. I don't know what else to say about that. I'm looking forward to having like all 10 seasons there. But anyway, oh yeah, the point was, nice little like 10-minute thing of like just to catch you up on what happened since Ben Browder joined the show. And it was like, so it was all this useless bullshit cut out, and it was like this nice tight little examination of like what's happened in the Ori storyline and why it really wasn't over at the end of. Last episode of season 10. It was essentially what they would have done in season 11. That's what it was. And that's what, what's his name? Cooper? Is that his name? Robert C. Cooper? Said in some of the extra stuff. So it was really nice, you know, particularly if you're a Stargate fan. I liked that it was a good follow-up. Decent enough resolution to the story. And another thing I thought was really interesting, and this is particularly interesting since I know we have a lot of Canadians. Fucking Canadians are funny. And like, you know, Canadians making Stargate. I just thought it was really, really interesting because they were talking to their visual effects people and they had their, what is essentially their in-house video effects shop because it's kind of like the separate group of guys but they only work for Stargate. Mm-hmm. And so they go and they visit them for a while and it's like, these guys are like working with some fairly decent equipment and doing some like, you know, very respectable production work on like a weekly basis to do these television shows and make them look right and everything, and it's by no means slouchy, like not even at all, like very, very nice group of guys. And you know, they're Canadian, so even their really, really nice video effects workshop looks like it's actually in a bait supply store. There's like fucking oars and like old fishnets and peeling paint.
Some people are talking about that, aren't they?
It was just really, really funny. Not that they in particular were any bad. I was just like, yeah, leave it to the Canadians to make their high technology, you know, shop that shit out of a bait store. But yeah, that was fun.
Fishbang, careful what you say, says Drew. Canadian.
But no, you don't understand. It endears me to the Canadians. It doesn't set me apart. It doesn't make me like not like them. I think it's funny, and as I sort of want to pat them on the head and sort of send them on their way. Oh. How cute of you.
I gotta reload it.
There are serious powers in the Tim Hortons. I don't know what that means.
No, you're not drunk enough, probably.
Are you reading the chat room? Or are you?
It's all frozen up for me.
Yeah, I have to keep
reloading. How
the
fuck did the Ori never go back to handle the Wraith?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. There are certain things that... There are things that I never understood about that storyline. One of the things that I think that's really good about the way they tell their story is it's flexible enough. Like, that if a question ever comes up enough that they're concerned about it, they could answer it. They always... Unfortunately, they always have Carter do it. Mm-hmm. And, like, so she rattles off some kind of Samantha Carter bullshit, which, really, I'm just not on the whole Samantha Carter thing. I don't dig it. I don't care. Vala? Man. Yeah, I can get behind some Vala. But Samantha Carter, I don't care. Whatever.
One of the most recent episodes of Atlantis, I was pissed off through the entire episode. It was the one where Shepard, right?
Yeah.
Shepard gets sent off to the future. When he steps through the Stargate.
Man!
Alright, I was pissed through the entire episode because the entire premise of the last time they did that, which they referenced that episode, was that because they had their own dialing device, they bypassed the safeguards. And, like, I'm pissed that they haven't, you know, they've apparently overlooked this because they're all using, you know, official dialers now. And then they get to the end of the episode and Rodney's like, yeah, the last time that happened was because of this, but apparently it was a software update that I sent out. I was like, oh, well, see, you should have just said that in the beginning because I wouldn't have had to be mad the whole episode. But,
right.
You know, I was afraid they missed something.
Yeah, a lot of times you have to give them until the end to answer the question that's bothering you.
You read the chat room?
No,
it's all frozen up for me. The thing that pissed me off about that episode is that it was a cliffhanger. Yeah. You send him fucking 40,000 years into the future.
I can't keep track.
The episode can't be about sending him 40-something thousand years into the future and then sending him back, and then the cliffhanger is that a building falls down? You can't do that. Buildings falling down are not bigger than traveling nearly 50,000 years into the future. It doesn't work that way. You have it backwards. So there you go.
Wish you could get the chat room to work, because they're just talking about it, man. Immediately, when you said 50,000, Track Zero was like, 50,000, and he typed that in there. He knew where you were going with what you were talking about.
Yeah.
But it was totally weak season finale leave-off. I agree. I didn't like that.
No, I didn't even realize it was the season finale.
Yeah, it was.
You know, see, the thing is, I'm not tuned in enough.
That's what you get with BC Bud.
I don't see any of the commercials or promos or anything else. You know? All I see is the show itself.
It's the show, yeah.
Isolated from everything else. So I didn't even realize that, you know, here we were at the season finale. I just watched the episode and that was it. I was done.
Right. And no, it was not a good... It would have been perfectly fine if it was a two-part episode.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Cersei says that Carter is now like an idiot with Rodney as the smart guy.
See, all right, here... you'll have to tell me how they feel about it since it's completely frozen up for me. When we heard that SG-1 was dying and... Atlantis was continuing. Obviously, you don't send Carter. You have a Carter in McKay, and he's much more interesting. You don't need a hot chick, because you got, you know, they're hanging around. You don't need Ben Browder to go, because you got Shepard. You know, you've got that taken care of. You don't need Teal'c, because you've got Ronan. Although the Teal'c-Ronan thing, that was pretty funny.
That was pretty cool.
I didn't think I was going to like that episode. It was actually pretty good. But you don't need him. And certainly he has no vested interest. The person that you did need, the one character that had any business being a part of the Atlantis universe, at least academically, in my opinion, is Daniel Jackson. He's the one person who's actually had real reason for going there from the SG-1 universe, because that's... So much of the information of the ancients is invested in the world of Atlantis. Now, granted, they're doing these subsequent films, so obviously he's still working there. And that's another thing. Like, okay, Samantha Carter's going to take over the administration of Atlantis, but she's, serious to Christ, never there. She's never there. And then in the Arc of Truth, they sort of indicate that the Arc of Truth stuff is taking place along the same lines as what's going on in Atlantis. And it's like, the fuck are you doing back here? You work over here now. You can't be in both places. The hell do you think you are?
Track Zero says they need Beau Bridges.
Man, Beau Bridges fucking owns a lot of shit, man. He'd go up there and clean some shit out, I swear to God. I mean, I still love my Atlantis, man, but they dragged their fucking feet.
Now if they can only get Jeff Bridges on Atlantis, that is fucking win.
That would be awesome. And I can't tell if they're trying to bring back Dr. Weir or not. They won't. They keep flying really close to that storyline and then not committing to it. Actually talking about after they destroyed the replicator homeworld.
Yeah.
Like that was hotness. Because at the very end of the episode she sort of flies in and I'm like, yeah, do something with that.
Not a thing. No, nothing.
Funny name. I don't know who it is. They need to bring back Rainbow Sun Franks.
Man, he was great. You know who he's related to? He's Cree Summers' brother.
Oh, wow.
He was in the first two seasons. He played Lieutenant Ford. He was really cool. Dana always calls him Rainbow Six.
Yeah, Trey Zero says, we haven't seen him in like three seasons.
No, and that was a great fucking storyline. Because the cliffhanger of season one to season two, he was being attacked by a wraith and like he was being like eaten by a wraith the way that they do their thing, whatever. And that whole process got interrupted, and it created like this weird thing where he was sort of got this strange feedback of the shit that the Wraith, like the amino acid or whatever the hell it is the Wraith infect you with to like bolster the fortitude of the thing they're eating so it doesn't die too quickly or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he like got into this whole like psychotic break from reality where he became addicted to the substance, and he went off into the wilds to sort of like find his own way of being like a badass soldierly kind of guy. And they just sort of left him.
Yeah.
They didn't kill him off. They didn't do anything. He just sort of like drifted off and they sort of forgot about him. It's like, what the hell? They went to the ends of the fucking galaxy for this guy until the writers got bored with it, apparently.
And then Barkov says, James, what the hell is so awesome about Stargate? One sentence, why? I'm so out of the loop of awesome.
Ooh, one sentence, why?
Well, he knows how you can go.
Use semicolons.
Way to find my weakness. Just go ahead and pull out my kryptonite there. Say whatever you want, but be succinct. Shit. I don't know what it is for other people. I can tell you the thing about it that fascinates me the most is that everything that the show does was never intended, ever intended by the film. The film had very specific things about what it was, and the film and the show stand absolutely apart from one another. And it was a bunch of guys who had a great idea about how to create what really amounts to like an extremely deep world to tell a sci-fi story in. And they built it from something that shouldn't have been able to produce that kind of world. They basically violated a bunch of rules and turned it into something better than the source material. That's what it is. It's better than its origins.
Track Zero says, Stargate is a really decent sci-fi show with continuity, good characters, and knows how to laugh at itself.
Yeah, it's excellent. The characters, some of the characters are fantastic. I like it a lot. I mean, they had a couple of weak seasons in SG-1, and they all have, like, really long stretches of time where their storytelling is just weak. They will not commit to the serialized storyline. They drift away from it for too long.
Since you got that series now, I may borrow that from you. I may borrow
It's really good if you can, like just, you know, again, jump into
it. I'd love to know what the hell you're talking about when you have these conversations with all my friends.
Yeah. I mean, it's cheesy sci-fi, don't get me wrong, but it's surprisingly deep, and it's very easy to appreciate if you just kind of let it do what it does. And it sees a lot of its own faults and will make an effort to sort of create a fix for that fault. But yeah, it's
Nabokov,
it's
didn't know there was a movie.
Yeah, the original movie was with
Kurt Russell
and James Spader.
And Nabokov was 8 when that came out.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. I was out of college.
I had just graduated high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't an especially good movie.
I was watching Sesame Street.
Really, you know, as good as the movie was, you were better. I've heard rumors here and there that the people who actually have control of the film as a property want to make a sequel to the film.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That has nothing to do with the series, because again, they had nothing to do with one another.
No,
as far as ownership.
Yeah, the guy that apparently did the movie originally wanted to do it as a trilogy.
Yeah.
So he wants to go back and make his other two movies.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Yeah. Guess what, man? I don't care.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Why didn't the Ori just put their minds aboard warships instead of killing themselves? Says Xerxes.
The Ori?
Yeah. Now he says, wait. I think he realized he might have fucked something up. Wait, Thor.
Oh. Yeah, see, I don't
know. The Asgards.
I don't know.
You know, if we're going to talk about shit that happened in the DVD, can we not?
No. This was at the end. This was the final episode of season 10.
Okay.
When the Asgard gave them all their goodies.
Okay.
And then we're like, you know, walked off into the sunset or whatever they did. I don't know. I guess you'd have to be Asgard to know that. Maybe they were just sick of it. They're tired of this shit.
Oh, he said Ori.
Yeah, he meant.
Okay. Yeah, and then he meant like, Asgard. Wait, Thor and okay. The Asgards.
I was like,
I missed that.
Ori killed themselves? I don't know about that, so. Yeah, that's fine.
No, the
Asgard.
They sent the weapon through the thing to kill the guys. And you did get to find out whether or not it worked. Yeah, Stargate, good stuff. All right. I don't know how long they're going to let Atlantis go on.
Yeah, I know that this has been going on for long enough.
You're not sick enough. You need to stay up and talk some more.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
So, Rainbow Six in a couple days?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, this one thing we never got to is what everybody's playing, but I think pretty much everybody knew what we'd be playing.
Well, we finished Condemned, fine. We pull the group together, we go finish Condemned. We get Condemned 2, we start working through that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely got everybody can get their own copy of Vegas.
Yeah, I'm picking that up this week, definitely.
The hell else? What's coming out in between Vegas and GTA 4? Was there anything in there?
I think...
Force Unleashed is not coming out.
That got moved, yeah. I think they got moved.
Either that or just clarified.
Yeah.
But that's what, June now? Something like that.
I think GameStop's got it back further. But
really?
September.
Fuck. I thought it was summer.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'll have to look.
Fuck.
Yes. Big old fuck.
All right.
So.
That's fine.
All right, that's it. If we get a phone... Yeah, never mind.
Like, if we get a phone call, we'll do it.
But yeah, but whatever.
Everybody knows.
We're going to go home.
That's it. We're tired.